The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout.
It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Woo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
Speaking of delights,
oh my gosh,
Jackie Britton joining us for
that
a very special PFW in Progress.
Whoop, whoop.
No Fred Kirsch, no Paul Perillo, no Eric Scalavino.
No problems.
Just the beauty and the best show.
Beast. There needs to be an A in there.
Well, then you're the beast, and I'm either the beauty or I'm the best.
I'm all right with that. You got that diva status down.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's July 22nd, Jackie.
I know.
We are 2 days away.
It's so crazy.
Next time we take, or I take to this microphone,
right,
a practice will be in the books. We'll be talking about training camp. And that's what we're going to talk about for 2 hours today here on PFW in Progress. We're going to look ahead not only to training camp, but regular season action and maybe some predictions for the Patriots in 2014. I threw it out there on Twitter earlier, some bold predictions. And I started it off, Rob Gronkowski will play 19 games for the Patriots.
Wow. You really think that? Okay.
And if you do the math, that means, yes, he's playing in the divisional round, the AFC title game, and the Super Bowl. I can't guarantee anything in the Super Bowl. What happens? Win, lose, draw, whatever. But Gronk is due, I think, for a little good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. He broke his arm blocking on a PAT. Bad luck.
Okay.
He got infections for surgery of said arm. Bad luck. He's in like a low streak here. He's due for, I mean, as happy and
but
as smiley
games.
As he. 19 games,
that's
baby.
He's
played the full season before. He can do it again. And if he does that.
But you don't get any healthier the more injuries you go through.
Yes, but he's had acute injuries. These are not repetitive, aside from the back, which everybody claims is fine. But the ACL, MCL, the ankle, and the broken arm slash infection were all acute based on a single play snap issue, not wear and tear injuries. He's actually going to be healthier because he's missed so much time the last couple of years. And booyah! 1,000 yards, lots of catches. Patriots are growing great on offense. Woo!
I admire that. I would like to think that.
You don't seem to buy it.
I mean, I would like to think that,
well,
but I don't know
negative.
If I'm that. No, I'm not. I just am not brave enough to say that. I mean,
I am the
games,
eternal optimist.
19 games, that's a lot. I would be willing to go with 13.
How many of those are in the postseason?
Mm.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
But before we get into all the debate and predictions, and we will look at some of Jackie's Patriots Today 14 questions for 2014 series that has been running on Patriots.com. Good stuff.
Yeah, we're almost done with that. So there are plenty of questions that we did not get to that we can answer on here. So
and I have, as you know, all the answers. But before we get to all those things, I do want to bring a little news to the table, a couple little pieces of news, and one is Gronk-related. Patriots placed 9 players on either PUP or NFI yesterday, as yes, indeed, people are beginning to report to Foxborough, and that essentially means those players were not physically able to pass their physical.
Right.
That could be an injury, that could be anything. Conditioning run, I'm not even sure they've done that yet, the early reporters, but it could be anything, and I do want to remind people this has no implication on the regular season. They can
right.
come off this list at any time.
Right.
But those 9 players were... And I will start with the guys that went on PUP. That's Alphonso Dennard, Aaron Dobson, Jeremy Gallen, Tommy Kelly, Matthew Slater. Obviously, Dennard coming off a reported knee injury. Dobson's been in a walking boot from his foot surgery.
Right.
Gallen got banged up. I'm not sure the exact nature of the injury, but this spring, Tommy Kelly coming off the ACL. And I'm also not sure exactly of Matthew Slater's injury.
I thought it was not wrist?
The last year he had the wrist. Maybe he had that cleaned up.
Not really surprised by any of these guys.
No.
Right?
And, you know, some of these guys, you know, Dennard and Dobson we did not see during the spring.
Right.
Kelly we did see late, I think, in the workouts, and he was on the field a couple days, but obviously not quite 100% ready to go. Another guy we saw late was one of the 4 players placed on NFI. Dominic Easley coming off his ACL injury, and then undrafted trio, running back Roy Finch, offensive lineman Chris Martin, and linebacker Deontay Skinner were all put on NFI, which means it's a non-football injury that is placing them there. But the name that is absent, or some names that are absent, but the biggest is Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
So as of now,
you can assume that
he's poised to begin camp on Thursday with the rest of his teammates, as well as Vince Wilfork, Sebastian Vollmer, Gerard Mayo, any of these guys that are coming off various injuries.
Yeah, it's gonna be a whirlwind.
See,
it's gonna be crazy.
It's already a sign of the positive for Rob Gronkowski in 2014.
How many questions do you think Belichick's gonna get about that tomorrow morning?
A lot after he shoots down any news-related questions from, you know, past tight end issues.
Yeah. Well.
But other than that, yeah, we should probably talk about that as well. I'm glad you brought that up. The Patriots issued a statement last Friday afternoon or evening in regards to the reports that 33 pages of texts were part of the evidence in the Aaron Hernandez murder trial. And initial reports and court documents said it was 33 pages, and I think us included, everybody started to wonder, well, how many texts could that be? If you get 10 per page, that's 330. If it's 15 per page, it's blah, blah, blah. Well, the Patriots put out a statement on... Yeah, don't interrupt me. This
Sorry.
Is my show.
Sorry.
You're just along for the ride.
Okay, I'm good.
Don't do what Kevin used to
hey,
do
look,
when he helped
I do what
me
I want,
in.
A, first of all.
You'll do what I tell you to do.
B, continue.
The Patriots issued a statement, Andrew Phelan, part of their legal team, and basically summarized they had turned over 34 texts between the head coach, Bill Belichick, and Aaron Hernandez, not pages.
Big difference there.
Massive difference.
Yeah.
Because literally everyone was assuming we were in the range of minimum 300 and potentially... 600.
Yeah.
You know, people were comparing it to the texts in the Dolphins scandal, and there had been printouts of those, and how many of those fit on a page.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 34 texts. They also tweaked the date range. Initial reports indicated it was February 13 through May 13. The Patriots statement indicates it started in December 2012, which is actually... the end of a season, you know, the regular season and then into that January's postseason. So how does that sway what could have been included in those messages? Maybe just flat
There's no telling. Right. It could have been
People
nothing.
Like to jump to conclusions, but.
I know. Well, that's what was driving me crazy about that, is that it literally could have been nothing. It really depends on the relationship between him.
Correct.
And, you know, I'm not even going to utter the
How many times has Bill texted you?
I'm not either. It's not my job to win football games, so zero.
He texts me, hey, Andy, how's it going?
Yeah, I bet.
LOL. Okay. some other news, if you want to call it news, and I like to just throw everything out on the table. Fred Kirsch taught me this. You set the table, you throw it all out there and see what percolates.
He would be so proud.
Trouble in Married Land, according to Star Magazine, for Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen.
Oh, Lord.
This
That's really
very reliable publication says that Tom is sick of her controlling ways, which I could buy. She seems pretty controlling. And then I actually went to the website and clicked on the story, and it cites a friend of Brady's that claims Giselle makes him get up at 6 a.m. and scrub the toilets.
Nuh-uh.
I swear to God, that's the quote.
Come on. You know they have people scrubbing their toilets.
And that's the point. The guy, you know, even though they have housekeepers, she makes him get up at 6 a.m. to scrub. She believes her work is done. She had the kids, and it's his.
I
buy all of that.
I don't believe
he's not scrubbing toilets.
I don't buy that one bit.
Oh, I could see her being, you know.
She can't. I mean, like.
Overbearing.
Really?
Oh God, yeah.
You can no. I mean, her and her personality, like whatever. I don't have any opinion on that. But like,
she's a strong-willed
Brady,
woman.
Someone who seems like so overly dedicated to like football, he wouldn't bend to that.
I think he's been dominated by women all his life because he grew up in a female household with all his sisters. So maybe it's just one of those things where.
That's weird. I must not have gotten my issue of People magazine.
Star. People would be
sorry.
More reliable.
Sorry.
I don't think Star is all that reliable.
I don't read those.
But that's out there. We do have one listener. I believe her name is Debbie Wright. She likes to defend Giselle on occasion when I rip Giselle for various things.
Okay.
So she may want to chime in on that. But really, the story of the week is the start of training camp.
Right.
Many teams are already underway. The Bills got us going. Four or five other teams yesterday. It's starting to hit the
You know what
the
I'm
field.
The most excited about?
Food in the press box.
Well, food is always a great thing, yeah. But the numbers, being able to see the players.
That's true.
Having the pads on, actually going up against each other. Training camp is a little bit shorter this year, isn't it?
Seems like it gets shorter every year.
Yeah.
Ever since the new CBA and they eliminated
Seems
all these
like it's
workouts.
It's a little bit shorter.
But we do have excitement because we obviously have the two joint sessions,
right.
The Redskins and the Eagles. And I will give fans a sneak peek, so to speak, from Patriots Football Weekly World. Well, first of all, our training camp preview issue hits newsstands today, fresh off the printer.
Whoop.
Should be in your mailbox by, I don't know, Thanksgiving, depending on how slow the postal service is. And the other thing is our friend Carol Hardy, our circulation manager, is always out at training camp trying to sell yearbooks, which also are fresh off the presses today, trying to give away rosters. If you need a roster, Carol always hooks you up.
I need one.
And this year she has something new. If you subscribe, she has these very cool PFW collapsible cardboard binoculars that she's giving out. You'll have to see them. They're very interesting. Maybe you could do a slight little piece on Patriots Today on them. Just
really?
You know, sort of a throwaway.
Do you have
piece.
Like a? Is it like your face?
No, it's just green and Patriots Football
oh,
Weekly,
okay.
And it's got the schedule card on it. I wanted my face on it, but
right.
No one really.
I can see that.
No one bought into that.
Right, I can see.
I'm trying
you
to get T-shirts forever, and it's just it's not taking off like it should. But yeah, if you're looking to subscribe. Do it at camp and get your free binoculars.
I want to know who's coming to camp. I can't imagine, like, if I grew up here, if I was a Patriots fan growing up here, and I had the opportunity to come to Gillette Stadium and sit on a football field for, like, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is, and just watch Tom Brady play football and watch, like, Darrell Revis, like,
well,
I can't imagine anything better than that.
Now, I will warn people, we should refresh their memories in terms of rules. There will not be pads on Thursday and Friday
mm-hmm.
due to the NFL CBA rules.
But
they have
still,
to,
I mean, that what does that have to do with it?
Well, it's better to see him in pads. It's more
well,
fun.
Yeah, but I mean, to
we
sit there
watch
and watch,
patty cake.
Like, to be a couple yards from, like, Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like,
and
as a Patriots
toilet
fan,
cleaning
like,
dirty hands. No, it's a great take. I've said this. If you have children, especially young football fans, the
yeah.
way it's free, come down park,
right.
free to get in, sit on the hill, sit in the bleachers.
Get some sun because summer's almost over.
Get close to Tom Brady. Summer's over for us, honey.
Yeah. Oh, I know
honey.
It.
You know
I know.
What they say? It's over.
But you know what? It just started. Like,
I know. For the rest of the
ago.
World. For the rest of the world.
Two
it ended
ago.
For us.
Yeah.
It ends officially on Thursday. But it is a great take. You get to see, as you said, all 90 players or,
yeah.
you know, the ones that are out there up close and personal. See Gronk.
What are you – so is that what you're going to be looking for tomorrow?
Gronk?
Or, sorry, Thursday, whenever.
Gronk?
Yeah.
Gronk.
That's it?
The key to the season. Gronk.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what's going to be the most fascinating.
I'll give you a couple.
I mean, Revis, obviously.
But Revis, I'm looking
We've seen
more
him
for
already,
Revis
but...
down the road when pads go on and then even into
like in
the
games.
Joint, well, joint practices with Washington.
Yeah.
The Redskins, the team that some people don't call that anymore.
Right.
But it says that on their logo and jersey, so that's what I'll call them.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going
to
do?
I am intrigued to see Revis once it starts to sort of hit the field and
yeah.
really competitive. Browner, I would put in the same category. I'm intrigued by his size and ability. I'm actually more intrigued by Browner. I'm assuming Revis is going to be great to really great to elite somewhere
right.
in there. Browner, I think, could range anything from what Richard Sherman keeps telling me he is, which is a number one corner and great, to maybe just a rotational guy who's physical and in certain weeks will be a key player and other weeks might be a bit player. And we all know that he also has to deal with a suspension. So right. sort of the way that job unfolds as he rolls into the regular season and misses 4 weeks.
Yeah.
The offensive line, the interior offensive
That's
line, I think is
really,
fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I am starting to lean towards I will be surprised if all five guys are back.
Yeah.
You know, we know the tackles are going to be back in Mankins, but
right. Connelly, Wendell with Stork. Yeah, and a lot of those
Does
rookies.
It come down, and I've said this before, if it comes down to talent, I think Wendell might be out. If it comes down to money, Conley might
well,
be
I mean,
out.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, especially since you have, this is your first year with the new offensive line coach. You know,
Googe.
It's
Googe. Did I say it? Googe?
Yeah.
I can't say the Googe. Other part. The
Googleyama. Google.
I think you should go by
I think you should go by Google. But that's
You had a nice sit down with him, right?
Yeah. That was great earlier in the
offseason. That was
very good.
You guys should re-rack that to kick off camp.
Yeah, maybe we will. He was phenomenal. I had a really great conversation with him. He was just so open, too.
Yep.
And had a lot of personality.
Oh, that'll change. Don't worry.
He had a lot of personality. No, it was nice. Like, it felt like I was just sitting there talking.
He'll beat that out of him. He'll fall in line
no,
with the troops at some point. But that's the table. The table is set. Webradio@patriots.com. If you want to email us, webradio@patriots.com. What the hell's the phone number here? 508-298-0398. If you want to join us on the phone on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And as I said, it's all fair game. It's all on the table. Brady's marriage, Gronk's health, PUP guys, projections for camp, bold predictions for the season. Any question you've ever wanted to know about Jackie Britton, she will answer them all with complete honesty.
Yeah.
No shying away, no
yeah,
matter
yeah.
how vulgar or inappropriate they may be.
I have to deal with you on a daily basis. So
That's
I've
true.
Learned
it
to,
can't be any worse than me.
My backbone has gotten a little stronger over the past 2 years. Oh, my two-year anniversary with this organization is tomorrow.
I remember the very day you walked into the tent.
Really?
And pulled out a massive bottle of hairspray and just started going at it, being one of those true TV people.
Oh, gosh. I've learned that ponytails are my friend.
And I believe you learned right away that I was a ball buster.
I learned that immediately.
And
yeah.
you know what the best part is? You can take it.
Yeah.
When I bust balls, you can take it. You're not a...
I ain't scared.
Not sensitive like other people that may or may not usually sit in that seat and be on this show who aren't here today and think
hey,
they're artists.
Keep that between y'all two.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
You want to start with some emails?
Yeah.
Give me one question. Give me a snippet. Give me a question that has yet to be answered, and I'll answer it definitively.
A question that has yet to be answered.
14 questions on Patriots today for 2014, and Jackie's going
okay.
to go.
There's one from Chad. It says, are the Patriots really that confident in our current pass rushers that they thought we needed a QB in the second round instead of adding to the defensive line? Well, they did add to the defensive line, but I know what he's saying. I mean, that's just as excited.
They added to the defensive line with a top pick.
Yeah. As the next guy, but wow, a QB, I don't get it. I get it.
They like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
They think Jimmy Garoppolo is not only a future starter, they believe he is maybe on the verge of having enough talent to start as a rookie. That's how much they think of Jimmy Garoppolo. They like
start
him a lot.
Start as a rookie?
Not that he will start, that he has the talent to start.
Yeah.
For example, if he were on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think the Patriots think he could start in year one.
So does that mean that you think that they could just carry two quarterbacks this year?
I think there is a chance of that. I think
yeah,
there is a very heated competition for the backup job, and I'm not yet willing to handicap it and pick a favorite for that job, but I think Jimmy Garoppolo was in the mix from day one, and I was very impressed with what he did this spring.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't think that if by the end of training camp he's proved that he has a grasp on this offense that he could win out?
Oh, no, I definitely do.
Yeah.
I'm just not willing to
say it yet.
I've never seen him take a single snap in pads against people in pads.
Well, okay.
Seems like that's a big jump. I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
No, but I mean,
action in shorts on the practice field in May is not the same as action in August.
That's what we've said about all these guys.
Well, but I've seen some of them.
I mean, there's only so much you can tell.
The guy's not going to play anyway, hopefully.
Well, right.
As Ryan Mallett
did. No, but I mean to say that you think that the Patriots think that he could be as, you know.
I think the Patriots believe he could be the backup this year and at some point a starter.
Yeah.
Here or somewhere, he is an NFL caliber starter.
I would like to see him in a game, like preseason game situation, though.
Yeah, me too. That's what I just said. I'd like to see him in pads first.
But I do have enough confidence to say that if he had a grasp on the offense by the end of training camp, I'm confident to say that they would only carry two quarterbacks.
I'm just glad you said you'd like to see him in a game, whereas I was worried that you were going to go like down the Mike Giardi route and say, I'd like to see him in tight pants.
No.
Mike Giardi is madly in love with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Are you serious?
He thinks
I can't
he is a
wait.
Stud of a
player. Oh, my
player.
Gosh. I'm going to tweet Giardi like right now. I can't wait to call him out on that.
Yeah, he's madly in love with him. He thinks he's going to be a superstar.
That's so sweet.
It is kind of cute.
Yeah.
And they kind of have a similar look to him with the hair and everything.
Maybe.
A little paddleboard. Should we go to the phones? It's already 12:20. This show flies by.
No.
Unlike Fred, I'm not going to drop this person. I am going to put them on the air because, see, I don't know. Just give fans a little behind the scenes. There's one button that says air that you click on to put the person on the air.
Okay.
There's another button that says drop and is bright red. Somehow Fred occasionally just clicks drop and hangs up on people before they go on the air. But me, I am going to go right to Justin in Virginia, and I'm going to click air and see now Justin is on the air with Jackie Britton and Andy Hart here on PFW in Progress.
Justin, what up?
Hey, Andy. Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Just in time for the show.
Hi.
Oh, booyah.
See what you did there.
I want to rehash my Denver points a little bit and talk why we can be more and win more than them.
Is this the six-point plan? Can we shave it down to 3 points today?
Yeah, it's 3 points, but I'm going to kind of like go deeper into them. It's not like the exact same thing.
Okay, well, Fred would call that a deeper dive. It's what the geeks call
it. Wait, what is he asking?
He had a six-point plan as to why we were better than the Broncos or the Broncos were worse and all that. He's going to shave it down to three today, and he's going to start right now. Go.
Do I need to write this down?
No.
First of all, like, I think it's notable that if Talib and Gronk both go out, which they probably are, I think as bad as our receivers are, they're still better than, like, the Broncos secondary. Because if you think about it, without Talib, they have Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, and who else? Like Tony Carter?
Without Gronk, who do we have?
Well, that's what I was saying. As bad as our receivers are, like our receiving cast, we're still better than them.
Are you sure? Because do you remember the AFC title game when Matthew Mulligan and Matthew Slater were on the field? It was atrocious. I felt bad for Tom Brady.
Yeah, but at least, like, there are people that have started in the NFL. After, like, Bradley Roby, like, they got,
I'm going to need you to stop saying like so much.
Sorry, Matt.
But I understand your point. Certainly there are two key players on key sides of the ball. Talib is injury prone. We've seen that here.
Yeah.
And Gronk is injury prone until he proves otherwise. Now, I think he's going to play 19 games, but that's certainly not a foregone conclusion. Okay, point two. Proceed.
And, like,
I just told you to stop saying like.
Sorry.
Justin, just punch him in the face virtually. Just you can.
I feel like
back.
I need one of those zappers that, like, if he says like. Yeah.
Go ahead, Justin.
But it's more important for them though, because they're sorry, man. I'm trying not to say like.
You just do you.
No, don't do you, because you involves a lot of likes, and I don't like the likes. I'm going to need you to pick up the pace, too.
Have you want to get high?
Where do you live? Oh, Virginia. Weed's not legal there,
don't,
is it?
Don't, like, dock me, man. Huh?
Weed's not legal in Virginia, is it?
No.
You just sounded like Beavis and Butthead. Go on to point number two before I have to drop you like Fred would.
Like.
Oh, my God, you're out. Sorry, got to go. We have a like limit on this show, and you surpassed it. Justin, call back when you can like, not like, not like, say like. Up next on the air and not the drop button is our friend Chris with a T-I-A-N, and he has a very special question for Jackie Britton.
Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Jackie?
Yes?
The only question I have is, Andy is big of an a-hole in person as he is on the radio.
That's not what it says on the call screener, you big baby.
You know what? Andy does dish it out quite a bit, but I think that we have a really good brother-sister relationship.
Yes, because you can take it.
Yeah,
you're not a sensitive a-hole like, again, somebody who may not.
I would not call you an a-hole, though.
Well, I kind of would.
I wouldn't call you that. I don't say those words.
I have said this in the past, and I'll say it. I think my player comparison is Mike Vrabel. I think he was a tremendously funny a-hole who could be a real a-hole, but it was a good-natured a-hole who was an a-hole to everybody. And I think I'm like that.
But, like, I can still talk.
Careful
to you about
on your likes, or I'll blow you up from the show.
I can still talk to you about things, though, and not feel. Right.
I can draw a line between ball busting and we're being a little serious for a minute.
Right.
We've done that. We don't need to discuss it on the air
because
you would not enjoy that.
Nope.
Christian, it says something different in my call screener here.
I just called to join the debacle. That's all I.
Right, and it said you wanted to ask her a certain question.
That was the question.
I didn't have Dennis anything to cover.
What is the trophy that they give out for soccer from FIFA?
What? I have no idea.
It's the World Cup. What cup? He wanted to know what your cup size is. That's what it says on my call screener.
You're joking. I'm not answering that. Y'all should know that. Y'all should know that.
We should know that automatically?
Yes. You think I'm going to answer that?
My eyeball is... Wait, what should I know? I shouldn't know your cup size.
You should know that I'm not going to answer that question, you moron.
I thought you should.
I'm drunk on a plane.
Oh, boy. We're going down. Christian, you got anything else before I drop you like Justin?
Just really happy to see that Gronk isn't on that pup list. And was Dennett hurt last year?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He battled knee and, I believe, shoulder last year, and reports indicated that he had the knee cleaned up this offseason. That's why he missed all of the OTAs and mini camp and is now apparently going to miss the start of training camp.
Okay, I just didn't know if I had missed like something that he had gotten hurt.
No, I don't think it's anything major, but
yeah.
He had some sort of reported procedure in the offseason and isn't quite ready to go here.
I think that's important because you don't have Brown for the first four games, and now your depth kind of takes a little bit of hit there because then it'd be Ryan. So.
Yeah, no question. And yeah. It's interesting you bring up Ryan because I was just working on Ask PFW, and if you remember the Jeff Howe report early in the spring or in the winter, it was that Logan Ryan would potentially move to safety and you know, in the mix there. And Bill Belichick actually sort of backed that up at the draft, talked about, you know, Marquise Cole used to be in that role where you're a backup corner, you play the slot, you play some safety. And I think Ryan will probably end up in that role, and who knows, depending on injuries, could see some time at safety. But I do think his primary job right now is going to play cornerback. And as you said, if Browner's not out there and Dennard's not out there, well, Logan Ryan is in the mix with Kyle Arrington to be... If you want to keep Arrington on the inside in the slot, then Logan Ryan could be
He was pretty good last year.
He did. He tied what? The AFC lead in interceptions,
like,
led all
like
rookies.
Yeah, he had 5 interceptions.
Easy on the likes there. We're gonna beat that out of you before this show is over.
He had 5 interceptions, I believe.
Yes, he didn't have like 5 interceptions. He had 5.
Well, I'm saying that because I'm trying to remember if it was
some
five
of them
or four.
Were a bit fortuitous.
Like thrown to him.
It'll be interesting to see, though. It'll be interesting to see what his role is, and it'll be interesting to see how long it takes Dennard to get out there.
Yeah.
And I also continue to – I still have caution that Dennard could have his own suspension. I mean, remember, the guy did go to jail and serve that penalty in the offseason.
Right. Wasn't that – I thought that was taken care of in March.
No, he took care of that, but the league could crack down.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to have a player conduct policy – I find it difficult to accept that a guy who spent time in jail doesn't fall under that player conduct policy, especially in this time where
maybe they just forgot.
There's really focus on it with Ursay and what he went through and just fair and unfair. So we'll see there. But Christian, I'm going to hang up because you were a wuss and didn't ask your real question. Bye. I hate it when people don't, you know, live up to what they said they were going to ask about.
Well, you know, I'm glad.
And Christian, you should
know.
I'm
glad that he didn't. That was.
Being the expert in that area that you are, you should be able to watch Patriots today and assess for yourself what the answer is.
No, it's more of a gentleman thing not to ask me that.
Let's be honest. In this day and age...
We are trying to cultivate gentlemen here.
I'm out.
Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney.
In this day and age, the looks of a woman reporter are very much a topic, correct? Aaron Andrews, little run-in with WEEI of late... based on her interview at the All-Star game and all that, looks are part of the discussion.
I didn't hear about that.
And Erin Andrews is someone that has certainly embraced using her looks to advance her career.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to have a party.
So I think it's only fair to broach that topic, no?
Whatever.
Let's be honest. Do you think looks matter to a female reporter more than they do to a male reporter in terms of television?
There are plenty of really attractive men on TV, too.
Who do you like?
I'm not getting into it. I just, like, can't read.
Where is he getting all these
clips
from?
Where are these coming from? These are from the training camp PAs that I had to read yesterday.
Oh, it's your voice that'll be annoying us, not Brian Lowe's anymore?
No, me and Bob Soucy both read some, but then we had to redo some more, so I had to do some yesterday.
And I should say, hot dogs and sausages.
Oh, B-Low!
Your first year now taking over the full reins kind of as the lead reporter on Patriots.com and Patriots Today. And
I know.
Games and all that.
Andy, I'm excited to go.
I got a good one for Bob here.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Shop your favorites, Victoria's Secret.
That's good. Come on.
He's so dry. That's funny.
Shop your favorites. Victoria's Secret. Find out what Victoria's Secret really is.
Bless his heart. He was like, does
he swear or anything?
You've
now worked with him for, what, a month?
Yeah, a couple weeks. He's been in a couple weeks. He had a week of vacation, so. But yeah,
the guy just got here and he got a week's vacation from Patriots.com?
No, he went on vacation. But he's a great guy. I'm really excited.
I really like him, too. I just wonder if he swears.
I haven't heard him swear yet.
Is he religious?
I don't know.
We're really getting into Bob Sosie's personal life.
I know.
Should we read some emails? Because we are email driven.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Yeah, we should.
And the first email, not surprisingly, the topic of one of the topics of the season, Gronk, and the subject line, is Gronk really injury prone? I don't really like this setup Fred has. He has like the screen split in two. And like,
I think we should define injury prone because he was having, he did have injuries all through college. So I mean,
right. So he is prone to injury.
Right. This is all kind of a continuation.
I get a lump
of
him in. Danny Amendola, prone to injury.
Yeah.
It's the same. They both get a lot of injuries. Sorry.
But,
it is what it is.
Like, but with Amendola, though, I mean, there surely were times during the season where he's still playing through those injuries.
Yeah, because
like,
he had a muscle pull. He couldn't play through a torn ACL or an infected arm.
Yeah,
and Gronk
so I'm
had
a little
major.
More lenient. Like, I don't.
He's injury prone. They're both prone to injuries. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's not a
like,
an attack
when
on
you're
their
playing,
character.
But when you're playing with injuries already, like, of course you're going to be.
But it doesn't matter. It's not an attack on someone's character to say they're prone on injuries.
No.
I think players, certainly Danny Amendola gets defensive being labeled that way.
I would like to define exactly what it means to be injury prone.
You're injured a lot. You get injured a lot. You are prone to injuries.
Isn't that everyone in this league?
No. London Fletcher was not injury prone. He played 14 seasons of middle linebacker and never missed a game. Not prone to injuries.
I feel like people just...
Doesn't mean he's a better guy. Doesn't mean he's tougher.
Way too regularly.
But you have to differentiate between... injury prone as a fact and calling a guy soft or unable to play through pain.
Well, right.
And there are two very different things.
Well, that's
I think
point.
Danny Amendola is tough as nails and injury prone.
Okay.
You can be both.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, injury prone, but played a Super Bowl on one leg. Toughed it out, did everything he could to try to help his team, was just a decoy in the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Who's someone who would be soft?
Ooh, see, now you get into trouble.
It doesn't have to be on this team.
J.D. Drew, for example, with the Red Sox. Well known. Had to be near 100% to be able... had to be perfect.
Right.
Okay. It's hard. On this team, I wouldn't really feel comfortable labeling somebody soft.
Yeah.
Because I can't really think of anybody.
Wow,
right
really?
Now.
Found something you can't
Well,
because
I can't
about.
Think of anybody that is actually proven that way. So and it's something I think as a reporter, you have to be really, really careful. You don't want to throw that out there, that a guy's soft. Now you're questioning his inner character.
Oh, here's a question. Sorry, on 14 questions that I just
did. Saw. I ask you for another question?
Sorry, no, but this is a good one. Don't let me
she's
forget.
She's going to run the show.
Don't let me
Save
forget.
It for later. I'm going to read the email. Hey, guys and gal, I'll have to add in. Do you like being called a gal?
I don't really care.
Honey?
No, don't call me that.
Okay, just check
I don't like pet names.
Sweet,
No, come on.
Rhymes with hits.
Read it. Oh, my God.
Can you say a player is injury prone if his injuries are not soft tissue? Hamstrings, quads, groins, I'll lump in an injury prone category. But getting a helmet to the knee isn't really controllable from the injured player's perspective. Mm. His ACL, MCL in this is Gronk, obviously, in 13 was from a pretty poor hit that really should be outlawed. Actually, it has been, in rule changes for this year, No. In 2012, it was a broken arm on a special teams play, then again late in the year. Yes, it's frustrating we haven't seen more of a gifted player who brings the offense as a whole. I love it when we get our listeners from abroad that spell offense with the C.
I know.
As a whole, but does this make him injury prone or just plain unlucky? Secondly, and very quickly if possible, can you outline how the roster gets down to the 53-man roster? By the time the regular season starts from the start of training camp, it goes from 90 to 75, I believe.
Yeah, that's the first one, right? That's the first cut.
And then we skip a cut. Now there's only two, I believe. 90 to 75 and then 75 to 53,
really,
I believe. And there's a short, actually, turnaround between those two dates as well. It's like a week difference between those two. Getting back to Gronk, though, whether you want to call it luck or not, I don't think we know that. I think there are people who are genetically predisposed to...
I think you can definitely say the knee hit against the Browns, though, that was unlucky.
Not really.
I think so.
I think he's a big guy who was planted. If he were a lighter guy, if that were Deion Branch, Marvin Harrison, their foot may not have been planted quite as much. The knee may have swinged out instead of getting blown out. Is that, that's not a word, is it?
Swung out.
Corrected by the Southern.
Sorry. It is one of my
But so I think genetics play a role in it. I think genetics play a role in it. You know, we've always used the example on this show. Teddy Bruschi would take like hellacious hits. His knee would bend backwards. You'd think he was done. He'd limp off and he'd be back.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said for a guy who is more durable, more lucky. I don't know where God and luck come in and where just genetics and parents and that comes in. I think there's a lot of different layers there. Preparation, flexibility, you know, guys who maybe do more yoga, Pilates, and guys who maybe are too tightly wound. I mean, there's a lot of different layers to it.
Right.
But to me, injury prone simply means you are prone to injury.
You get injured.
Many times you get hurt. Now we can dig deeper and say why, how, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But Gronk is prone to injuries.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Not a shot at him.
Like I said,
one of my favorite
players. Right. I know. Like I said last week. You know, he's will always be until he can prove otherwise.
How about Logan Mankins? Never missed a damn practice, never missed a damn thing in his life.
Dadgum.
And then all of a sudden is dealing with ACLs and this and that and seemed like he was banged up for 2 years straight.
He is tough.
Did he change?
He is tough.
What changed about him? Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, some cynical callers will say, well, he got his big contract and he didn't care as much anymore.
No, I don't
that's
think that's
BS.
True at all.
He's as tough as nails, as the young lady just put it.
He is.
He's a rancher. Nothing has changed with him except luck or maybe age.
You could factor in as one aspect. Right.
But he went from being as durable as anybody to, over a short span, injury prone. So you can be both. It's not a, and I love Logan Mankins,
too. You're calling him injury prone, too?
For a short span. We'll see. If he continues to get him, yes, he's injury prone. Right? Right?
Is Will Fork injury prone?
Hell no.
Okay.
He went from unbelievably durable, never gets hurt.
But I'm saying, like, do you need to see him play this season to determine that?
No.
Okay.
But if he now gets hurt in August, and then again in October, and they start to be different, maybe you say he's now a little bit more injury prone, and maybe it's age related.
So since this was his first really full season.
You can't be injury prone after one injury.
Yeah. Okay. I see where you're going.
You need two points to make a straight line, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just got a dot. You know what I'm saying, bruh? Ooh, we got another caller from Los Angeles.
Oh, West Side.
Balarco. Is that how you say it? Balarco. Polo. In L.A. You're on PFW in Progress. What's up?
Oh, how are you guys?
Good.
We are muy bien. ¿Y tú?
I'm doing good. I actually had a couple of
amigo con grande cabeza.
I am not. Okay.
I think Kevin is making some very unfair stereotypical presumptions.
I don't even know what that was.
I'm from India, man. I don't know what.
Nice job, Kevin.
Okay.
Now, Kevin, you want to make any comments on that?
Kevin,
let's see.
Zero.
We got some stereotypes for that. Do you like Bollywood?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't even get your name because there's so much chaos.
Where else are we going to go with these stereotypes? We know the next one. Call center.
Over my head.
Okay, what do you got on the Patriots?
First of all, I don't know. I might be one of those few guys who just doesn't want the Patriots to sign either Keller or Finley. I mean, they're so injured. Their injury was so, like, hardcore. I don't know if I want them here. I mean, it's also, I find it a little hypocritical that as a Patriots fan, we always complain about how injury thrown all our players are, and then we are trying to just bend over backwards to sign an injured player.
Well, part of that is value, and we've talked about in past years, you can sometimes get a better player for cheaper because he is injured coming off an injury, and that could certainly be the case for a guy like Keller, who got a decent contract, a short-term one-year deal with Miami last year, blows out his knee. If you think you can get him, you know, Jake Ballard style on the cheap, and then maybe he gets healthy and you have more than really you paid for, I wouldn't touch Finley. And we should mention Patriots signed Nate Byham, veteran, who, oh, by the way, is injured and coming off an ACL last October.
I forgot about
Did you hear my joke? Normal NFL teams have 106 ACLs, right? 53 times 2. Patriots got about 92 ACLs. They don't have enough ACLs to go around right now.
We'll be here all night, folks.
But so they did add a veteran tight end. I don't know how, you know, I really have any idea when he'd be ready to go if he's healthy at this point. And I'm still holding out hope that they sign Dustin Keller because.
Really? You think they
I'd
will?
I'd like to see it try it. Give him a shot in camp. If he's not it, well, if that he flat out isn't healthy, then don't sign him.
Yeah.
But if you think he's healthy enough to compete or get on the field, I'd like to see him try.
Hmm. I don't know. I feel but, less optimistic about that.
Belarco, so does that mean you're settled with the tight end position?
I mean, if there are not too many good move tight ends on the market right now anyway. So
right.
I was thinking that Patriots should just have a different offensive strategy. When I saw them sign this new tight end and I found out that he's more blocking type, and I was like, okay, let's run the ball a little bit more this season.
Yes, he has 11 catches in 4 seasons. So you're talking about maybe a Michael Omanawanui type or maybe even more of a blocker. And as I said, he's still injured. I will say you do need tight ends for you. It's very difficult to run an offense that has no tight ends. And sure, they'll probably have more receivers, you know, multiple receiver sets this year. I think you may see some more interesting lineups with running backs. You know, Shane Vereen and James White on the field together. Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen on the field together. James Devlin in that tight end running back mix.
Yeah.
But I still think on some level you need to have a tight end, A, to block, but also just to differentiate the game. You know, there is a value with a big guy in the middle of the field, red zone, where we saw Brady struggle last year without Gronk and then have great success with Gronk.
Right.
So I'm not willing to just say wash away the tight end position and we'll be fine. He's and part like of that, by the way. Oh yeah, he's a good size guy.
I didn't realize he was that tall.
Part of that, by the way, is, you know, I don't feel great about anything else either.
Like the run
game.
Oh,
great theory that Shane Vereen and James White will be fine. Well, what if Vereen's hurt and White's a rookie who looks like a rookie and isn't ready to compete? Well, then there goes that idea. We'll rely on them or the receiver position.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just rely on Dobson, Edelman, and Amendola. What do those three have in common? Injuries.
What about LaFell?
What about him? He missed all of spring and can't catch.
But how do you know that
I'm going downside right now. Just so you know, I'm playing devil's advocate, and the negative side is we'll just fall back on our receivers. All of them have questions, too. You know, if this were Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and whatever, I'd say, okay, we're going to get away from the tight end position, and we're now wide receiver heavy.
Mm.
Which receiver can I count on? Is Edelman going to be the 100-catch guy, or is he going to be the guy that was injury-prone his first 4 years? Is Amendola going to be Danny Amendola, which is banged up and catches 50 balls? Is Brandon LaFell going to be the guy who was fine but drops a lot of balls? And we know if you drop balls and Brady throws your way, he's unhappy.
Right.
And then he stops throwing your way.
Unhappy.
So there's questions. And Belarco, thanks for the call, and I apologize for what Kevin did in terms of making some assumptions about you and your ethnicity. It was just inappropriate, and believe me, he will be reprimanded for it off the air. That was pretty good, huh? That was very professional.
Yeah, that was very professional, but he didn't say anything.
He made allusions to him being
Hispanic.
No,
I'm saying like he hung up the phone.
No, I dropped him.
Oh.
Unlike Fred, I don't let people just hang on forever and say, all right, do you know most callers when Fred is hosting, they end the call? All right, Fred, I got to go.
No.
That shouldn't work that way in radio. You should get rid of them before they want to get rid of you. I'm in control here.
Oh, boy.
You need to take a break and read the latest email that just came in.
Okay, you want me to take a break? Okay, it's 12:43, as Fred would say. That means we're going
to
take a break.
Eat.
Yeah, I don't have any food. Do you have food?
What? I need food. I'm going to get hangry.
Hangry?
You don't want to be with me.
You're going to be a Snickers commercial?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're like Roseanne when you're angry?
I get hangry. Y'all don't even know.
Okay, well, we'll see what hangry means exactly in the next segment of PFW in Progress. Talk to you in a few.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
And we're back, as Fred Kirsch would say. That's right, PFW in Progress.
Tuesday afternoon here, the 22nd, 2 days away from training camp at Gillette Stadium. Everything's pretty much in place, too. They have finished the football operations portion of the new construction. And fans, by the way, you'll
have
be
they?
Pretty much. You'll be interested to take a look at it when you come here for the first preseason game. Sort of a whole new facade and look to the
Wait,
east
where are
side?
You talking about?
The east
where,
side
like
of the stadium. You might have noticed it.
Where we park?
I don't know where you park.
It doesn't.
The players are back in their parking lot, and they enter a nice, pretty new building.
Yeah.
That says New England Patriots and everything on the front.
Yeah.
And
doesn't look like it's done really.
Oh,
good.
Don't be so picky. It's not completely done, but the football ops part is done.
Baloney.
Stop stepping on my lines
Baloney.
And let me deliver a radio show here, young lady. So they're back, and the beds are in place in the sleep room down the hallway. It's training camp time. Why do you keep giving me those eyes?
And not those kind of eyes for the people that really want to know.
Like, you look confused.
I don't think I've seen what you've seen.
There's beds down the hall that they sleep in. There's a sleep room for during camp.
But I haven't seen that.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
The door was open when I walked by. I didn't really do anything. I just looked.
Okay.
It's just mattresses.
That. Are we allowed to see that?
How can I not be allowed to see something that I saw?
I don't know.
What is this, Men in Black? And they go, and it just erases
maybe.
It? Oh, boy, you're frustrating
maybe.
Me. I was just saying during the commercial break that I have fun with Jackie. She brings energy to the table that, again, a certain person who usually sits in that seat does not.
Oh, come on.
She's fun. She knows more football than that person.
Well, you're like my brother
thanks.
I've never had.
That's sweet. But you do have an email that I need to read. This is the
I'm
one
just
Kevin.
I'm gonna play.
Oh my gosh. We gotta burn
Wait,
that.
Wait, where did all those come from?
I was singing. I sing often. And I was singing that song.
Now, as some of you may know, Jackie Britton has an alias that she sometimes answers to at various live events. Jackie Scalavino is the subject line here from Scott Parsons. And I believe he is actually the one in Doesn't Say Where who dubbed you Jackie Scalavino at the Tom Brady Best Buddies
He's
charity.
He's the one who called you that, right. I remember that.
Lubricants.
Okay,
what?
Eric. I don't know. Eric likes to talk about lubricants. It's a big part of his life. I called you Jackie Scalavino at the Touch Football at Harvard and just want to apologize.
Oh.
How long did it take to recover? Didn't bother her in the least. May have bothered somebody else, but did not bother Jackie. She's very fun and lets those
right.
things roll off her back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you made fun of her mother or something
yeah.
or whatever.
No, I wasn't bothered by that.
Good fun.
But
I think I should have called you Jackie Giardi based on your extended conversation on the sidelines that night. Is that what you mean by hunky anchor? So you got a thing
is
for Giardi?
When did I ever say anything about a hunky anchor?
Well, we were talking to you earlier. You said there are a lot of very attractive men.
There are.
Is he one of them?
Just like there are many attractive women.
Many?
I would say the same about men and women.
So if Giardi's not your type, like, who's your type?
I'm not into on-air men, so sorry.
That's BS.
You're more into, like, print guys or radio guys?
I'm more into, like, radio guys. Like, who control the show?
Balding ones?
Balding ones. Okay, now
lots
that Big
love,
Head
Kevin.
Is not doing his radio show with Flanders and Beetlejuice, can you tell me when you are getting your own show? Who, Jackie or me? I think Jackie
Hopefully
and I could
you.
Have a great show.
I think so, too.
Beauty and
Let's
the Best.
Do it. Beauty and the Beast. I'm the Beast because I could deadlift more than you.
Now, would you be that is true. I pulled my hammy. She deadlifts more than me. Now,
just call my coach.
One might ask, why is someone like Jackie deadlifting? I can't answer that.
Yeah, that's what you don't understand. Like, you argued with me about that the other day.
Yes, I don't get why you're deadlifting
and doing
hang cleans.
I'm trying to get stronger because I'm getting stronger.
For what, exactly?
And it helps me stay in shape. I want to stay in shape.
You don't want to bulk up too much.
I don't. I'm not.
You don't want to get a little beefy.
I know. I don't want to get bulky.
Because as
not.
Much as you don't like it, looks do matter in your industry.
Right, but I'm not getting bulky. I'm not, like, taking, like, all these
creatine.
Protein.
Put them down.
Yeah, see, she picks things up and put them down more than I do. Jackie.
I lift things up and put them down.
You are the girl. There's a big bug in here. Wow. You are the girl next door, which should minimize the BS you will have to put up with. But having said that, sometimes it's better to get a C instead of an A.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. Is it like a breast size comment? Or
that's what I was thinking.
Why do you have to go there?
I'm trying
great,
to,
like,
what are two, there are a few things that C and A would both be applicable.
Grades,
obviously grades.
Right.
But why would you want a C instead of an A?
Yeah, I don't know.
The other one, breast size, I quite obviously know why you'd rather have a C than an A.
I really hope that's not what that's pertaining to.
He loved the show and F the Eric. Okay, he's gone. Jackie Scalavino. Next. We got to get
like
to
breasts.
The...
I'm passionate about breasts.
I got to get to the phones. They are banged out, Jackie. People want to talk to you. And we are going to start in Boston, where our man Woo is on the air. Woo, welcome to PFW in Progress. Say hello to the young Jackie Britton.
Hey, what's up, Jackie? You're awesome.
What's up? Thanks for waiting on the line. I know Andy has a...
Keep it clean, you creep.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. You guys definitely need to keep it clean.
I was talking to you.
Certainly a lady.
Okay, she's a lady. Lady on the street, but...
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw my gun.
What do you want to talk about Patriots related today?
Well, I have one question about Jeremy Gallant, the wide receiver.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to say that Devin McCourty is going to have a huge breakout year this year at the safety position. With the addition of the secondary guys that he's got now, and the fact that Duron Harmon is well acquainted with the defense now, and the other kid from Rutgers, they're going to have a great year this year.
Woo, let me ask you a question, and I think there's a chance you're right about McCourty. We have criticized him for maybe a lack of playmaking, and I think that could be boosted by what is added with Revis and Browner at the cornerback position. Maybe he has a little more freedom to roam and make some plays. If you were Devin McCourty, would you bank on yourself having the year that I think you're projecting and wait to go to free agency? Or if the Patriots were interested in giving you an extension now, would you sign it?
An extension now before the season?
Yes, if the Patriots came to you and said, we're not going to break the bank, we're going to give you a, you know, mid-level type deal for, you know, in line with, say, you know, the 10th best safety in football or the 8th best safety in football, would you sign it, or would you bank on yourself being, you know, a Pro Bowler this year and making more money?
Hell no, he wouldn't take that deal. Devin is absolutely going to have a bang-up crackerjack year this year. He's put on a little bit of weight. He has the guys that he needs. I think that Devin...
Wait, are you friendly with Devin? How do you know he's put on weight?
Yeah.
I've seen the last interview I saw him, and he had put on a few pounds. He might have put on 5 pounds of muscle.
Okay.
He's going and he's working out in, I think, somewhere down... He's working out with someone.
Revis.
Year, and he's got a... Yeah, Revis.
Yeah, there's a whole group of the DBs that have been working out at one of those, forgot which one in particular, but one of those workout facilities with Revis. And I think that's a great sign, both in terms of working out, but the camaraderie.
Absolutely.
And sort of, you know, we all praised Aqib Talib for fitting in so quickly and sort of being the heartbeat or the swagger of that group. Well, maybe they're going in that same direction pretty quickly with Revis, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Woo, what else you got?
There's cohesiveness with this group that we've never seen before.
Well, we'll see. There's potential.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to call them special. I'm not ready to call them great, but I think there is potential for both.
Yeah, but the DBs always seem to have, like, they've got their own thing going on.
Yeah, they definitely.
They always seem to have, like, their.
They start yapping with each other. I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
They have, like, their
Less
own lingo. They're all. You don't know either. So don't pretend you are.
You got to remember one more thing about Devin. Devin is the most selfless player out there. He seems like a very humble guy.
Yes, I agree.
That the other guys are going to be able to handle their load much better. It's going to make it so you're going to see all of the flashy things that you guys like to see, because Coach Belichick looks at some things that we don't look at. We look at interceptions and some of the big flashy things, but like the defensive tackle he picked up, he didn't look at his numbers, but he looked at the disruptiveness and the things that we don't necessarily view as being sexy.
Okay, I agree with you on that, but I do think Belichick would also take sexy plays too. If all of a sudden McCourty has, you know, 5 or 6 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, a couple fumble recoveries. Woo, and thanks for the call. I'm not going to give you a chance to get to point two because we are decked out. People just want to talk to Jackie.
Oh, please.
That's the change in this show. They love Jackie. So next on the line, our good friend from Portland, Chester, bring it as you always do.
I have like a comment.
Oh, don't make fun of other callers. That's not nice.
Oh, my God, Andy, you made my flipping day today by raking Justin to Virginia over those coals, baby. I mean, this guy's so baked when he calls, I get compelled to hit the fridge. And then suddenly I just fall into manic paranoia. You know, I mean, dude, seriously, put down the bong and have some takes. I mean, enough is enough. Andy, you're the voice for many of us today. So thank you very much for that. Man, nice to follow the McCourty fan club into the show today. Oh, my goodness. Alvin in Texas somewhere there is getting ready to follow up with a call and now, you know, answering that topic. But, guys, real quick, I keep hearing Devlin's name coming up with excitement. I got to ask you guys, do we really have expectations for a guy like this? I love his style of play, but let's face it. I mean, it's like 20 years ago the way the guy plays. Is this guy going to be a factor in the offense, or is he more of a cult favorite? I mean, for me, I'm still looking for that tough guy, pit bull, running back without Blunt. I'm wondering if Devlin's going to fit a niche there, but you guys alluded to him early in the show. I had to call and find out, is there more to Devlin, or is this guy more of a cult favorite for us? But that's it. Countdown's almost done. I cannot wait for this year. You guys have a great day. I'm out.
See you, Chester.
So what's the question? Can you really count on Devlin to be a tight end?
A key player. No, he's more of a cult favorite. He's a jack of all trades. He's a hard worker.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to call it, lunch pail guy, old
but
school.
But is it fair to say no at this point?
Yeah, it's fair to say no.
Really?
Do you really think the guy who was a defensive lineman at Brown, who has converted to fullback and is now converting to tight end maybe, is suddenly going to, as Paul Perillo likes to say, move the needle at tight end? Do we think he's going to catch 35 passes and be an option? Come on now.
So
Michael Omanawanui was a very productive college tight end at Illinois, has great hands, and he's not able to be a productive tight end. It's not easy to do.
Where else would they put Devlin?
Well, they're not going to put him anywhere. He will play special teams. He'll play some fullback. He'll probably play some third tight end.
So you're saying we shouldn't read into the...
He's a complimentary role player on a good football team that every coach would love to have. But if I see him on the field in a key role in the AFC title game...
You're worried.
I'm not going to feel good.
Okay.
I love him. James Devlin's one of my favorite players. His, like, 7-effort touchdown in Houston, one of my favorite plays of the year.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm an old school fullback guy, like fullbacks and linebackers.
He's really underrated
all
as a blocker,
that crap.
Though.
Yes, but that's what his job is.
Yeah.
And that's not flashy. He's not flashy. He's fundamentally sound. I love him. But if we count on him to win games, we's in trouble.
I mean, that's a little, is that what he was asking?
Well, basically, as I said, I think he was the best tight end on the football field this spring. That says more about your tight ends, I believe, than it does your James Devlin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you fly.
I know. I kind of want to see. I want to see how he does.
I want to see, too. And believe me, I might run out and buy a James Devlin jersey if suddenly he is a playmaker for this team. And I don't even wear jerseys.
You're just not feeling it.
It's inappropriate. I'd love to, but I can't buy it. Even though shtick-wise, it would fit my shtick nicely. I don't know what that means. But I like him.
He
is who he is.
Yeah. How tall
nice
is
man,
he?
Too. Not tall.
Yeah.
Six foot. Yeah, in there.
Yeah.
I judge it. I don't really memorize the weights and heights as much as I judge it by how I look at him when I talk. And I know if a guy isn't way up here, he's not all that tall because I'm short.
Yeah.
Is who he is. Let's get in a couple emails and then we'll get back to the phones. We got a couple open lines, but a couple guys on hold. We'll get to you guys in a minute. I'm going to save this one for later because it's related to a guest we might have later. Good morning. It's Chris again. Second time emailing in. Well, we didn't read your first one, so it's almost like the first time. From Alabama, Roll Tide.
No.
Now living in Arizona.
No.
I am very excited about the season starting up. I will be flying to Minnesota in September to see the Patriots play the Vikings, then flying to San Diego in December to see them play the Chargers.
Wow, dedication right there.
Any hoot. Okay. What's the point of keeping Danny Amendola when he and Julian are basically the same? Why don't they spend that money on getting a better receiver? Well, first of all, they can't. They already spent the money.
Yeah, I was about to say. That
basically,
cost
his his salary is guaranteed for this year, like 2/3 of it, I believe.
Yeah.
You've already invested.
Right.
After this season, and if he doesn't have a good year, things go bad, you may see the end of Danny Amendola in New England, and they will reinvest elsewhere. But the first couple of years, they were on the hook, basically, for that contract.
What was it, $5 million, 28? Or 5 years, $28 million?
5 years, as much as $31 million if he reaches everything.
Okay.
A lot of money for him.
That's a big hit.
And I continue to say, he played up to his resume last year, not his contract, which is to say he did what he'd always done, but they paid him
to do more, to
advance that,
yeah,
to extrapolate beyond his previous production.
But you can have two slot guys.
Sure.
What's wrong with having Amendola and Edelman?
Well, first of all, on this team, they just need receivers.
Yeah.
We can't be picky and choosy. Oh, you're not tall enough. Oh, you don't play outside. This team doesn't have a lot of targets in general. So I think you need him now, especially with Aaron Dobson starting the year on
PUP. Yeah, I don't get the problem having two.
Well, it's not ideal. You'd like things to maybe fit a little bit better. They're not perfectly suited to the various positions, maybe. But right now, I just want reliable, productive guys who can be on the field. Not that I'm saying Amendola is either of those, but that's the goal. Also, will Bill be signing some other tight end that can actually catch besides these Dern? Is this a Southerner? Oh, Alabama.
Yeah.
Dern. What is Dern?
It's like
darn, but it's not English.
Right, darn.
These Dern blocking tight ends. As I said earlier, I'm still holding out hope on the Keller bandwagon.
Dadgum.
Dadgum. If Gronk goes down, I reckon this email is like targeted right at you.
I wish he'd called in.
We will be in the same situation as last season. Only difference is our defense will be better. Also, F Jimmy, there will never be another Brady. We also need the running game also. Help in the running game also. Do they plan on doing something like that? I actually seriously worried about our offense. That was just a rambling email. Who's saying that Garoppolo is going to be
the next
Brady?
No,
he's going to be the next starter.
Yeah, that's no one's saying he's going to be the next Brady.
Right.
Let's calm down.
He's not going to be the next Brady. I guarantee you he will not be the next Brady. He might be good. He may be popular. He may be fun. He may be handsome, according to Mike Giardi. But he's not the next Tom Brady. Tom Brady is unique and elite and special and great and all those
and
things.
Accomplished.
At the very least, he could be as good or better than Brady, but he should be. He was drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
He can never have the boy from nowhere that Brady supposedly is.
Right.
Because he was a six-round pick.
Everyone's really concerned about the tight end stuff. There were a lot of questions on our 14 questions series that we did about signing Tony Gonzalez, signing Dustin Keller, Jermichael Finley.
That's because they don't have the faith that I do that Gronk is going to be healthy and ready to go.
Yeah.
By the way, faith that I think the Patriots may have had when they didn't draft anybody weekend.
That's one of the biggest, that's one of the glaring things is that that was a position that I think everyone thought they were going to go after early. Didn't address it at all.
And so, therefore, you kind of build on that and say, well, maybe they really think Gronk's going to be healthy and ready to go. It's a dangerous game, I think, to play. we ready to go back to the phone calls?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, pick a number 1 to 4.
Right now?
All right, I'm going 1. He was on the line the longest, so I'll go. Tyrone, our buddy in Delaware, waited quite a while to get on the air with young Jackie
Tyrone,
Britton.
Thank you.
Say hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
I didn't really call to speak to Jackie in particular. I just want to blow my rant, but all I'm going to say is, Jackie, you're all hotter than the last two girls. What's her name? Christina Akron and the other girl. I forgot her name.
Lindsay Petrucci.
Anyway, that's all I'm going to say. Keep it moving.
Anyway,
I want to talk about, you know, a lot of Patriots fans. You know, I didn't really call in because I've been listening to a lot of, you know, with the Revis signing, but people need to remember, first of all, I don't like the Revis signing.
Oh, really?
To get Gerard Allen, they need pressure up front. Do we remember that the 07 Super Bowl? Do we remember anybody in the secondary? I can't remember not one guy, but I could remember all the four guys in the front line.
Asante Samuel, Rodney Harrison.
I know. I'm talking about the 07 Super Bowl, the Giants. What I'm trying to say is pressure up front. You know, you're not gonna beat quarterbacks like Peyton Manning without no pressure. You're in the same boat.
Tyrone, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
What you mean? The chicken.
Okay.
So, I don't understand.
So where'd a chicken come without an egg?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you need a pressure.
Really? Because I have no idea what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, let me go on my rant real quick. Let me go and finish.
Okay.
Okay, like I said, you need pressure up the mid. You need pressure. Don't worry about the secondary. Any scrubs, if you got pressure up the pressure on the quarterback, any scrubs will cover anybody.
So
Belichick always do this. And another thing that irritates me with this guy, you got Andre Johnson sitting there, right?
No.
In order to compete with there's three top teams in the NFL right now, on paper right now, the Broncos, the 49ers, and the Seattle. In order for you to be on their level, you got to get playmakers on their level. You're going to still be the same old, 11-5, 12-4, first round of the playoffs, bounce out, second round maybe, and then that's it. You can't win like that. And like I said, what gets me, he likes to play the players that it's garbage, like Damian Dola. Paid him too much money. Gerard Mayo. Paid him too much money. Kyle Arrington. Paid him too much money. Could you squabble over a couple of million dollars for Wes Welker? We know he could play. Even though I wasn't too mad that he was gone, but to do that, that's why Vince Wilfork was so upset. Like, yo, why you didn't add Gerard Mayo, who's making way too much money for that contract? We don't ask him to renew. And like I said, you cut Conley and you bring, if you're really serious about winning a Super Bowl, you bring in that man on Johnson guy, and then you keep it moving. But this guy, this Belichick guy, well, one other thing. You guys had a poll about Belichick about being a good coach. Oh, yes, he's a good coach, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But as far as the GM, I gave him a big, fat, stinking F. You guys have a good one.
Okay.
I can really appreciate Tyrone's passion.
Yeah.
I also like this guy. Call him Belichick. This guy. Yeah. Like, ripping him. This guy. Got a little John Gruden in him there.
He was intense.
First and foremost, I am not sure that Andre Johnson is available. I think Andre Johnson would like to be available.
Yeah.
I think Billy O'Brien is playing a little hardball with Andre Johnson and wants him in Houston and doesn't want to cave to pressure and maybe start a precedent that could kind of hinder him throughout his tenure there. So, A, I don't know if Andre Johnson's available. B, I don't know if the Patriots would give up what it would take to get Andre Johnson
right.
from
that's,
Houston.
That's what
so
I
that's a multi...
That would cost
certainly
a lot of money.
It'd be nice to add Andre Johnson. You know, we're talking about different types of receivers to this team. But it's probably not overly realistic.
Does his age concern you, though?
Not so much his age. Very productive last year. Yeah. A lot of catches. Looks good. And I'm not assuming he's going to be here forever. I'm looking for a year or two. So I think he can give you that year or two. But the bigger issue is, are they going to trade him? And could you meet their demands even
but
if they
did
decide to trade
him? But
for
a year or two, for how much it would cost?
I'll take him. Okay. I'm here to win. To win. Hello,
you
play
are you,
to win
you're the, one that
the game.
Up. You're the one that suits up out there on the field?
I do everything to win. Mm. We're winning radio right now.
Hello,
let's.
I do everything to win.
To win the game.
Including a deadlift.
I know.
185.
Oh, no.
Chalking up.
Oh, it's higher than that.
Whatever. Olivier in Virginia, our good buddy Olivier, say hello to your friend Jackie Bertin.
Olivier.
Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Bonjour. Good.
Bonjour.
All right, keep it in your pants.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much for putting me back on the right track, Andy. Well, you guys are doing a great job, by the way.
Thanks, it's fun.
It's a good change of pace. I'm calling because, A, I haven't called in a while, so hello to everyone. And, B, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the tight end. We know that we can be phenomenally good with Gronkowski if he's healthy, but history shows us that he's been injured due to the nature of his plays and sometimes some freaks accidents due to the game. So why haven't we have an insurance policy on the guy? I mean, we just signed a new tight end, and it's kind of a disappointment because it's not someone that can actually either play with Gronk or that can actually replace him somehow during the season. And I was wondering, I mean, how can we build a team knowing that Gronk is our best offensive weapon? And when he's on there, on the field, we score more than 30 points a game. When he's not, we suffer for it. So how come we don't have like a second B plan strategy for us to be successful? Well, and it's the same year over and over again. So, I mean, what do you
well, guess? I don't agree with that, first of all. I think last year they were heading towards the summer with the makings of a very good offense. Okay. I think they had Danny Amendola, they had Aaron Hernandez, they had Rob Gronkowski. And then Aaron Hernandez did his thing, allegedly, and Rob Gronkowski had the endless infections, and everything just spiraled out of control, and you had a crappy offense at times because of it.
Right.
But I also would argue, you can't have a lot of plan Bs in the NFL. It's just the nature of the salary cap, the business, the lack of talent, the opportunities elsewhere. You know, do they have a plan B at quarterback? I don't really think so. I might like Jimmy Garoppolo, but that plan B is pretty damn shaky. He's pretty unproven. Do they have a plan B at cornerback, really? No. You're well invested in Darrell Revis. Do they have a plan B at safety?
So how do you explain last season?
What do you mean?
Like, hit after hit, injury after injury, and then having guys come in there to
because
still
we have
finish.
Plan Bs and Cs and Ds, and it worked. But, I mean, when I'm talking about plan B, I'm talking about Keller, for example. I mean, that would be an offensive weapon that could actually supplement and complement our offense if, for example, Gronk was injured.
Well, I want Dustin Keller, but he's an unknown right now. He's a question mark with the health issue. He's certainly, you know, athletically and production. Well, yeah, I think so. You know, I can't imagine he's asking for a ton of money. We don't know the specifics of the deal or what he's looking for, but I can't imagine there's a ton of opportunities for him and he's asking for a ton of money. And I do think, you know, Paul and I argued this the other day. He doesn't move the needle. I think he moves the needle a hell of a lot more than
my favorite my favorite phrase from Paul.
Right. Yeah, he moves the needle more than James Devlin or Michael Omanawanui or Justin Jones or Asa Watson or Nate Byham or any of these other guys that share an ACL. Whoa.
What?
But I just think it's hard to have backup plans. And last year, they didn't have backup plans in certain places. That defensive line got obliterated. Their backup plan was Isaac Sopoaga, who stunk and was a starter here and a week later. And then all of a sudden, you promote a practice squad player. You get a guy off waivers named Chris Jones. Those are backup plans that came on the fly, not backup plans they had in this time last year.
Yeah, that's
so
fair enough.
Things happen.
Who do you think could actually show up as an existing tight end should Gronk have an issue? Any good prospects that we already have on the roster?
No.
They're going to be fighting? Nothing.
Nothing. I see nothing. You know, I know people want to, I keep saying, you know, I get an emailer that wants me to eliminate, you know, with the likes on both ends.
Last year
we had Sudfeld, who shined in the summer, stunk to start the season.
Right.
This offseason, I think people want to sort of place Justin Jones in that role as, he's Jimmy Graham, he's a basketball player, he's tall. Whoa, let's pump the brakes. He didn't play last year.
Really say that,
oh, yeah. You need to get out, honey, and listen.
No, I'm just saying, that's like hard for me to believe.
It is, because there's nothing there other than the fact that he played basketball.
Yeah.
Like, that is the only comparison. And I haven't seen a ton on the field. He looks very raw to me as a route runner. His hands haven't been overly wowing to me. They've been fine, but not elite, where I say he's got just great mitts like Gronk. I don't see a tight end on the roster that can be a real force on offense or, quote, move the needle if Gronk's hurt.
So we have plan Gronk, and that's it.
Play Gronk and pray for rain.
See you guys.
See you, Olivier. Kevin, I may have messed something. I fixed it. Kevin, I'm my own engineer back here. I touched something. The whole screen went blue. I touched it again. It came back.
Oh.
I did what IT tells you to do. You turn it off and turn it back on. It's fine. All right, let's go to an email about training camp from our buddy Tony in, as Eric likes to say, doesn't know where. Hallelujah, football is back.
Amen.
I am going to training camp on Saturday. Well, Jackie Britton will be signing autographs in the media
please.
Tent between the hours of 10 and 10:30, so she'll hug everyone who comes by and gets one of those. Can I assume that the CBA will permit the Pats to be in pads by then? Yes, you can assume that. They should be in pads on Saturday, barring an unforeseen change or whatever. By the way, as I do every year, I'm eating at Davio's after practice. I recommend either the crab cakes or calamari to start, the filet mignon with a nice merlot, and the chocolate cake with hot chocolate liquid inside.
Yum.
And don't forget that basket of bread and potato chips.
Ugh, I'm so hungry.
Nothing beats football season. That has nothing to do with football. You can do that any day you want.
And thanks. Are we invited or what?
I know. I thought maybe
that?
Feel free to stop by.
Yeah.
And not just tease us with what you're going to eat.
And I'm already hangry.
While we'll be having like cold cut sandwiches up in the press box, which I love, by the way.
Right.
Free food
thank
is
you,
great.
Thank you, PR.
Cecily
Fanza, thank you.
Going to have a nice Merlot at like noon, too. Because practice 9:15, you know, figure ends 11:30, 12. He heads over there. Going to have a nice Merlot with his calamari.
Well,
enjoy.
Nice. Yeah.
That's the beauty of training camp here at Patriot Place. You see practice. What was that noise?
Ah.
Oh, I know what it was.
Stop. Hurting my ears.
So I'll stop touching that wire.
Patriot Place.
Imagine if you both got together with Dragon and Kay for a Quick Slants episode. That would be epic. Oh, they like the chemistry. This is Mark Tessini, and he's talking about the Dragon, which is Tom Curran, who nicknamed himself, and Kay.
You can't nickname yourself.
I know, but people do it all the time. Tom Curran's one of those types.
I'll have to talk to Tom.
Do you know Kay?
Yes, I've met her.
Is she
seems really sweet.
Snooty? No?
No, she seems really nice.
She looks nice.
I've only met her once. Yeah, she's pretty.
Very thin, though. A little too thin.
I don't know.
She's an A. You're a C. Star Report is ridiculous.
So
what?
I'm fat, so you're saying.
No, I thought we were talking about cup size.
Oh, my God.
Star Report is ridiculous. I like a clean house, too. This is from Debbie Bright, who I knew would email in to defend her girl, Giselle.
Oh, boy.
Debbie here, and Andy, the last name is Bright, not Wright. I was close. I got the it. I got the it
right. You got the right, right?
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah.
Thanks for the shout-out, and thanks for having a sane female voice, Jackie, on the live show today.
Aww.
The tone is already much more calm and listenable. Oh, no, it isn't. I just asked her, talked about her cup size. There's nothing listenable or calm about
that. Yeah, let's move on.
Once again, Giselle is an easy target. I heard three sports radio guys say, hey, the woman deciding on the decorating and cleaning of the house is marriage. I think the woman should be CEO of the house. I have no idea what happens in the Brady house, but Giselle practices yoga and is not a diva. I don't know what that means, and she's definitely a diva.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is a good judge of character. I think Tom and Giselle are a great team, and I really think tabloid media just is trying to pick on them. Happy belated birthday to Giselle and her twin sister on July 20th. I think the family celebrated in Costa Rica. Tom and Giselle have more integrity than some stupid tabloid. I like a clean house, too. Debbie Bright from Tennessee.
I think that Giselle's also posted pictures of her, like, while she's, like, breastfeeding and getting her hair done and getting her nails done.
And saying she's like the modern mother or something. And then that other woman made fun of it on one of the morning shows or something. She had to do all that stuff without a full staff around her to do it.
That's a little
Giselle sets herself up for criticism.
I mean, hey.
Regularity.
Like,
I just don't think she's making him clean toilets.
She can do it, but I think that's...
God bless... You don't think if I got to be like a $40 million man who could pick and choose his jobs, I'd be a bit of a diva? Let's be honest. I make nothing and I'm a diva now. Exactly. So I got some diva in me.
I've had to wait on you for so many things. What? So many debriefs. I'm like, be here at this time. 30 minutes later, the diva is back from the gym and is able to join me and grace me with his presence. Very thankful for that during the offseason, though.
All right, you want to go back to the phones?
Sure.
Oh, you'll love this guy. Dwight in Alabama. You're on with fellow Southerner Jackie Britton.
Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Go Dogs.
Andy.
Roll Tide.
Oh, gosh.
He doesn't actually like Alabama.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Shut up, Andy.
What's up, Dwight?
I haven't called in a while. Been working. How have y'all been?
Good.
I've been better. Summer's over.
Yeah.
I love football, but I hate summer ending.
Yeah.
Who would you be shocked to make the team that was an unrestricted free agent?
You mean an undrafted guy?
Same thing.
No, not the same thing.
Shut up. Let it happen.
So we're talking rookies then.
Who would I be shocked to make the team?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Wilson Van Hooser seems like a long shot to me. He has got like that Rudy little white receiver thing going on.
Who
He's
else?
From
Troy, correct?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Yeah, he would be a guy that I think is an extreme long shot. I don't know that, the offensive linemen are, I think, all a group of long shots because we drafted three guys and we already have returning depth. So I think just by the nature of the numbers at that position, those guys are long shots.
You're saying that what's his face, Stork might be a shoe-in to make the team?
I think Stork is not. Not a shoe-in, is pretty close.
Okay.
But to flip it, my guys, I noticed my guy Ben Volen had a nice piece this week where he broke down the guaranteed money given to the undrafted rookies.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And my two favorite undrafted rookies were the two highest paid. My boy Cameron Gordon, the long athletic linebacker who's going to make the team as a special teamer and a backup. And Steven Houston was number two in guaranteed money, who is going to replace LeGarrette Blount as the big back.
I don't want to pick one that I think would be a surprise.
Why? Just pick somebody. Wilson Van Hooser. Just say it. Oh, wait. I got another guy. Derek Johnson. The guy out of Maine who, according to his own college coach, is injury prone, and that limits everything he does.
Receiver.
I mean, let's be honest. If we're looking for injury prone receivers, we can look at the top of the depth chart, not the bottom.
Oh, yeah. You got a point there.
All right. I got to let you go, Dwight. Roll Tide.
Ugh.
Joining us now on PFW in Progress, a fast-moving episode. I was starting to get worried if he was going to come in.
I know.
122. Jackie Britton is doing a fine job, and this man joining us now is both of our boss.
Yeah.
Jackie's on a daily basis, and me at least four times a year for the Patriots preseason broadcast, and that's why we brought him on. No Socks, better known as No Socks, but biblically known as Matt Smith, joining us on the program. Matt, how's it going?
Great, Andrew. Thank you very much for inviting me in.
Okay,
it's
boss.
A pleasure.
This is exciting.
Very simple question. Am I calling them the Redskins? And are you telling anybody, instructing anybody specifically how to handle the boiling topic that is our first preseason opponent, the Washington Redskins?
Absolutely not. I don't think it's our position to call the team anything other than what they're being called that the club calls themselves. And until their team changes the name, we'll call them the Washington Redskins.
And that's throughout audible, that is graphically, that is anything that goes. They're going to be treated like a normal football team.
Correct.
Have you had any consideration otherwise? Any discussions with anybody otherwise?
No, sir.
Nothing from above?
No, sir.
Okay. Now, do you agree with CBS's stance, as it stands today, that they are going to leave it up to their individual broadcasters unless something changes?
I thought that was a curious public reaction to it. I think I would either make a decision one way or the other way.
Me
we're
too.
Either going to do this or we're going to do that. But to keep it as ambivalent as, well, Andy, if you feel strongly about it, you can call them one thing. But if, Jackie, you feel strongly, you can call them another. I don't think that that's sending.
I think it's terrible.
Yeah. I don't think that that's sending the right message.
We are CBS.
Right.
You, Jim Nance, or whoever, are not the man.
Right.
And this is not your platform to express your individual views.
Correct.
We will have a group view on this.
Right.
Right or wrong, and we will be praised and or criticized for it as a group.
And say what the, and so you and come up with a point of view. I'm sure they have a point of view.
Correct.
And whatever that point of view is, that's what your point of view is.
I agree with you. Now, this topic actually strangely came up on WEEI when I was on last. And
you were on WEEI? I didn't know that.
Be on again on Wednesday and Friday this week if you're
I'm surprised,
to listen.
I'm surprised for the first hour and 22 minutes of this program that that wasn't...
Have you been listening?
I haven't. I've been busy working.
Oh, he has... Well,
I have been busy working, and that's why it took me so while to come down here to your very fair program.
You did talk about it, but it was off the air, wasn't it?
What and what?
What and what? You're talking about EEI.
Oh, yeah, that was off the air.
Yeah.
Not on the air.
Yeah.
Jeez, we talk about a lot of things off the air. I don't think you want me bringing on the air, Jackie.
I don't.
Okay, so we've got that under control. I can say Redskins as many times as I'd like. Now, I have an idea that I'm going to bring to you on the air.
Okay, I like this.
We have some interesting new aspects of preseason football, one of which will be the goalposts, correct?
Yes.
And one of which will be the PATs for said goalposts.
Tremendous. Yeah.
Do we have... I don't know what the technology would be called, superimposing technology of any sort?
Well, we superimposed the yellow line.
Well, what I'm basically asking is, could we superimpose the old uprights over the new ones so you can get a visual perspective of the new look? And could we superimpose Stephen Gostkowski's first PAT? Could we superimpose a Gostkowski PAT from last year? So that we see the exact difference in the play, the trajectory, the kick, how he approaches it. A comparison of some of the new aspects of the kicking game.
I was already thinking about the PATs. I hadn't thought about the goalposts. I think both are terrific ideas. And we're going to talk with the technical folks about that to see if we can do that.
Okay. I have one more specific question. Are we in this studio again, or are we going next door?
No.
We got a new studio? We're going in the
TV? Did they get the chairs?
We're going in the TV with brand new chairs.
Red?
Bob's Furniture
Don't
chairs?
Believe they're red.
Oh, that was kind of our trademark.
Okay, I don't believe they're red.
Chairs.
Trademark.
You know, beyond being the Muppets.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask you a question? You're asking excellent questions. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the reference to the Muppets. I thought it was cute at first. I thought the idea to show the Muppets when we showed you was cute the first time.
It's run its course.
I think it's run its course.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine either way. I don't take myself seriously.
No,
so if you say as a TV production guy, you guys are our light in the mood duo, whatever, I'm fine with that.
Right.
But if you say, yeah, it was funny, but it's not a long, it's not an SNL skit that can be made into a movie.
Correct.
If you go with that, I'm fine with that too.
Right.
I will take no offense.
Let's make sure we take that up in the first our first meeting down in Richmond, Virginia.
That's where the Washington football team practices.
Correct. So are you calling them the Washington football team, Bob?
No,
Crosses?
I'm calling them the Redskins. Okay. That's their name. That's their team name.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not my job to police something.
Correct.
They have an owner.
Correct.
We have a commissioner in the National Football League.
Yep.
We have government officials if it reaches that level.
Ridiculously, it has.
There are a ton of people that should make that decision, not I.
Right.
That decision has not been made, so I'll call them the Washington Redskins.
Right.
The only people I feel passionately about are the people who defend the Redskins' name, I think, are idiots.
Right.
Passionately.
Yeah.
And I've never felt strongly about the argument until I started taking callers on EEI and started dealing with some of the idiots. It's unbelievable.
Right. So my only political statement is going to be this, for what it's worth.
I want my change back.
A plane gets shot out of the sky and nearly 300 innocent people die, yet there's virtually little outrage about that. Doesn't seem to me. It's just like, oh, ho-hum. But we're getting worked up over what do we call a football team?
Right.
I mean, it really, what's going on here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's true.
There's no outrage about the other.
True. Yeah, that's crazy.
Why? I mean, just because the country that hosted the Olympics most recently is...
And is hosting the next World Cup.
And the next World Cup is, you know,
right,
overseeing this atrocity.
Right.
Yeah. That was
so anything else you got? I know you're a busy man. We're doing bold predictions today. I'm going to get one from you. Bold prediction for the 2014 New England Patriots. I'm already on the record with 19 games played for one Robert Gronkowski.
Are you just saying that because you want to be a contrarian and you want to put something out there?
He is a guy that has played full seasons in the past.
I want to think about the bold prediction thing because I would like to make a bold
prediction. Give me a break.
However,
plus I kind of like him.
I want to examine the Gronkowski thing in the short term. Were any of you interested in the slew of names that came out yesterday between the PUP list, the PUP tent list, the NFI list, whatever the lists are, that there was no mention of his name? And do you think that that's just
right,
he'll be on the list Thursday morning?
No, because Patriots Football Weekly's own Paul Perillo said that all signs were pointing towards him being ready to start the season.
That was week one, though, he said.
I know,
but... He didn't say training camp day one.
Maybe all signs are pointing to... He was running very well on the side when we saw him for different stretches in OTAs. Not on the field, not bursting, not exploding, not doing anything the Boston Globe reported, mm-hmm, but simply on the field. One day, he was actually together with Matthew Slater running very hard. Now, the difference, obviously, Matthew Slater is on one of these lists. Rob Gronkowski is not. But I was not stunned. And by the way, yeah, I won't be stunned if he's added to that list tomorrow,
Thursday
whatever,
morning,
anytime.
Right. Okay.
Were
you surprised
I think,
not to see his name yesterday?
Not particularly.
Okay.
Oh,
no.
Really?
Not either way, really.
Okay.
And I do think either could come quickly. He could be on the list tomorrow, and then he could be off the list come Saturday or whatever and be out there practicing.
What about Tommy Kelly?
Tommy Kelly, I was mildly surprised just because we saw him on the field during camp. He was behind Wilfork in terms of the progression, and Wilfork was limited, it seemed, a day or two and then was kind of full go. Kelly was the last couple days seemed to be out there. But no, I mean, he's an older guy that's coming back from a major injury. It's no surprise. Easily, I was mildly surprised at just
no
because
surprise.
I saw him, you know, on the final day of minicamp and he looked fine. But we also need to remember, we assume Dominic Easley is on there because of an ACL. He could have just failed the conditioning run.
Correct.
Now, all these guys, I'm assuming they may have taken the conditioning run already. I don't know this for sure.
Sure.
But if they have taken the conditioning run, Deontay Skinner, if he fails it, it's NFI.
Right.
You weren't ready to play football, son.
Right. So then last one, were you surprised or not surprised that Wilfork has yet to be put on the PUP list?
No. I think he's full go ready.
Okay.
I think that's a thing of the past with him. I think he is all football, all ready, all practice. Maybe a monitoring day here or there in the middle of camp where you're like, oh, Wilfork's not out there. But beyond that, I think he's good to go.
How long does it take to recover from that kind of an injury?
That depends who you are.
Week four.
It used to be perceived to be quite a major injury that was more than a year, but so did ACL. And if you remember, Demaryius Thomas came back very quickly, and Terrell Suggs. Now, his was a partial tear. I believe Vince was a full tear. But Terrell Suggs came back within the same year to play.
Because I'm sure his training was probably very good, right?
You know, he's got some reindeer in the backyard. He rubs up against them every once in a while. You know how they can be.
Sure.
Not that we're saying anything about anything. Allegedly. So what else you got?
Okay,
you got a bold prediction? I've given you like 5 minutes to sit on it. This is radio, you know. You're supposed to react. This isn't TV where everything is segmented and pre-production.
Yeah,
I have
two. That's what I was telling him.
Has Jackie waited or no?
No.
No.
Okay, two bold predictions. A positive one for the Patriots and a not-so-positive one for the Patriots. The not-so-positive one, on the defensive side, I don't think Chandler Jones will take the next step as to where some people are placing him.
Oh,
and I agree.
And don't think we're going to see that kind of a player out of Chandler Jones.
I actually don't think it's over. Not to take a shot at you, I don't think we've really seen signs of him taking that next step.
Okay, but I mean, just from a strictly numbers standpoint, and I know the coach would like to lead everybody to believe that sacks are an unimportant statistic. And when you see that the Patriots had...
Except when sacks are beating his team.
Or when they were fifth in the league. Did you know that they were fifth in the league in sacks last year with 48? I mean, what a misleading
number. They were also
number.
The most since the 80s for the Patriots.
Right.
Most ever for a Bill Belichick Patriot. I mean,
so tremendously misleading. And they couldn't get a sniff on the quarterback in the AFC Championship game. He didn't need
to
watch.
See, now you're exaggerating. They got a single sniff.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay, but he didn't have to. Have
Chandler Jones ran by once and smelled him.
Okay, but he didn't have to have his uniform cleaned that
day,
right? Okay.
Nope. He's ready to go this year.
So Chandler Jones, rookie year, had X amount of sacks, and in his second year, he went up to 11 and a half, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there was some progression there.
You say potato.
There was some progression between the first and the second year.
Minimal.
Okay.
Because I believe if you prorate the rookie year out without the injury where he was limited, I think he was actually in line to probably have a similar type year.
Okay. So we're in line on the Chandler Jones situation. Okay.
Have yet to see him dominate a series or a game or a quarter. Any of those things that I think we all have seen from J.J. Watt, Clay Matthews, Robert Quinn, Julius Peppers, any of the perceived elites.
Right. Nice player. I think Chandler Jones is a good player to have on your team.
Good, solid player.
But I think if people are looking for Watt, Quinn, Clay Matthews, people like
Keep looking.
Right. On the positive side for the Patriots, I think there's going to be a person on the offensive side of the ball that people might not be focusing on that is going to surprise and be a big contributor for the Patriots this year.
Joshua Boyce.
No.
Stephen Ridley.
But I think he is going to be a surprise contributor.
Aaron Dobson.
No.
Shane Vereen.
I would not count on very much out of him.
That was my bold prediction.
Dobson going down the crapper pretty quickly here with everybody's projections.
No, that's I was going to pick him as
my bold
prediction.
Let's start out in the spring when he was on EEI and was Bill Belichick was raving about Aaron Dobson in the second year, all of them, but you kind of took it as Dobson a big to now where people seem like they're very close, just like writing off his second season.
Right.
So Stephen Ridley, no. Shane Vereen, no. James White. Oh, you're a Jimmy White guy, huh? Yeah, I don't know. Where are we slotting him? Give me a slot for like playmaker.
In the shotgun, I think you're going to see him on the field.
No, I mean on
with
the team.
With Vereen.
On the team. You know, Gronk's your best playmaker. Where does White slot in? Fourth? Third?
I don't rank him, as somebody used to say. But I would. I don't think that there's...
That guy wouldn't wear that shirt either.
I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise when people see him, and I think they're going to use him to create mismatches on the field. I think in a passing situation with him and Vereen on the field at the same time, and then throw in Gronkowski, hopefully healthy, Amendola,
you need to
Edelman.
Throw in the hopefully healthy for Vereen, too.
Sure. That's fair.
Because otherwise you'll have James White on the field.
Correct.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I mean, certainly that is the focus. We've had other people, a couple callers, talk about without Gronk, what's plan B, and plan B is focus on the receivers and the running back. Well, that's great in theory. The trouble is they're all question marks, too.
Correct.
There's not a single one of those I feel great about. I like Vereen. I like James White. I like Josh Boyce. I wouldn't bet my mortgage or anything on those guys carrying me to any success.
Right. And so this isn't a I don't think that this is a original premise, but is the hope that back in the salad days, as far as winning and championships and things like that, when the quarterback was asked who his favorite receiver was, he always said the open receiver. Are we getting back to a situation where – now I still think
– not just Edelman like it was last December.
Right, right. Do you think that that's the goal here, that they're going to try to profligate the field with a lot of different people, moving parts in and out – and try to find mismatches, which they always try to do, and whoever's open, that's who gets the ball.
Certainly there is a hefty amount of pressure on one Josh McDaniels this year to orchestrate an offense without Gronk. When Gronk's on the field, I think a lot of stuff falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when Gronk is not out there, I think, again, like there was last year, there's a lot of pressure on Josh McDaniels to put together a productive
offense.
Scheme
it up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's why he is seen as a young offensive mastermind and got a chance as a head coach and all that. But whether he can be successful at that, we'll see.
Do you think Stephen Ridley fumbles at all this year?
Yes.
Really?
I would bet my mortgage that he fumbles.
I'm going to say no.
Well, that is the boldest of bold predictions based on his first 3 years in the NFL and his 3-4 years at LSU.
I'm sticking to it.
Why?
I feel like he's going to bounce back. I feel like last year
to
really
what? Middle school? Because that's the last time he didn't fumble.
I think last year messed with him mentally. And I think he's going to be ready for this year.
I would love to say that. I would love to think a switch
him.
Is going to get flicked. I believe he wants to not fumble, but there's a difference between want to and can do, right?
Yeah.
And I have my doubts.
I'm willing to take that bet, though.
I hope so, because I really like Stephen Ridley, and I think he's a good, not great, running back. I think even with this limited passing game, everybody wants to lump in his 1,200 yards with, well, you know, they had a good passing game, so you just kind of roll out of bed. Well, I think now, if he has 1,200 yards, you have to say, he was a 1,200-yard runner. He was a pretty good running back. I think he has that in him, but the fumble question is a major issue.
Is the as you're talking about the running backs, we mentioned White, we mentioned Vereen, we mentioned Ridley. Is the loss of Blount of any concern to you?
Yes. considering other than Edelman, he was your offense down the stretch last year. Yes, that's a concern. Yes, he was the lead back. Yes, he was the only back who really made big plays, which is another criticism of Stephen Ridley below the fumbles. The next criticism would be the guy doesn't break any runs more than 20 yards, 25 yards. It just doesn't happen, and he should. He should have more of those. He runs like Andy Hart in high school. He gets to the open field, looks for a guy, and runs into him.
So so Ridley's going to get the first chance to be the...
lead back.
The lead back.
Second chance goes to...
The kid from Indiana?
Stephen Houston.
Okay.
I think he... I will not be stunned if Stephen Houston has 675 yards this year.
Okay.
You know, some committee-type approach. Now, the one thing about him, if you look back, and I'm not going to pretend I saw him play a lot, but you look at his stats, he caught the ball, too. He's a little more athletic than you might think for a 225-pound back. Very consistent, not great. Three straight, whatever it was, 600, 800-yard seasons, and caught the ball 30-something times. That smells like a committee back. That smells like another Belichick, diamond in the rough, undrafted rookie. Now, are you going to stick around in for calls, or you need to get out of here? Because we can get rid of you. We only need 20 minutes left. Why don't you take off? You're dragging us down.
Really?
Too much maturity in the room.
Okay.
Us young folks need to get it
that
on.
That hurts. Wow.
Here's where I pretend I'm young. Paul would yell at me. She's young. You're not. But
I think it'd be great.
Your girl's doing a fine job on the radio today.
Good.
She
no doubt.
Proving the Patriots today, and also got some nice compliments. Much hotter than the previous two, according to one caller.
Yeah, like that's one.
It's
like
not.
Really
it's not an important. It's not a factor that we.
Oh no, we've already discussed that. It is a factor. All you people in the business, whether it's the female reporter or the guy who hires female reporters, can deny that looks are a factor.
I think there are plenty of people, both men and women, who I would consider unattractive on TV.
Yes, and there are also people on TV who benefit from their looks, and I think it happens more regularly with women than men.
Yeah, I can say this with every bit of honesty on my children's lives. I can sit there and say I was sitting with Lindsay Petrucci, and we were going through YouTube videos to try to find Lindsay's replacement. And we went through hundreds, literally hundreds of videos, and I saw one person's video that caught my eye. And we reached out to that person. That person sort of took the cheese but then decided not to. We went through another round of looking at videos, a couple hundred. I say this with all due respect as a gargoyle myself, that looking at Jackie, I think Jackie's a very attractive person, but we didn't hire Jackie because Jackie was some beauty queen or pageant queen or anything. Jackie immediately came out as somebody who could talk on her feet, who could think on her feet, who had a nice smile, who had a nice personality, and had a way about her that was infinitely past whatever her biological years are. She looks, sounds more mature.
I know, seriously. My 2-year anniversary is tomorrow,
y'all. Save this
tape.
Send it home to mom.
Well,
and that's
you,
and that's why
she's attractive.
And listen, she's not unattractive, but that wasn't.
So are you denying that it's a factor in the business in which you work?
Of course I'm not denying it, but I think that people to hire somebody just because of looks, I think we've seen in town, in this particular town, we've seen people hired who were, who you would say are easy on the eyes and very attractive, who I know for a fact they've struggled to put those people on TV. It took those people a very long time to get those people ready for television because they weren't ready for TV. Now, they were easy on the eyes, but they weren't ready for
but
TV.
But you can have both.
Sure.
Certainly, I would say that Jamie Erdahl from Nessun has both.
She's great.
I think she is very attractive and pretty damn good at her job.
Yeah, she's good.
Who was the first YouTube video that Lindsay Petrucci and I saw?
Oh, yeah, she's good. That would have been a good hire.
Yeah, I've told them. I was like, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, and I think she had the Nessun job already. But she agreed. She was very interested in the job. Human Resources reached out to her. She wanted the job. And I think very quickly in between there, the Nessun job came up. And so she made the mistake of going there. Jackie's gain.
And our gain.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, I hear Jamie's pretty cool, too.
Little inside the hiring process there.
Yeah. Okay.
Looks matter. That's the bottom line.
It wasn't because she could sing.
I'm jumped on a plane.
Oh, it's terrible. All right, Eldridge has been waiting for nearly a half hour. We're going to put him on the air as we say goodbye to Matt Smith. Or, Matt, you can stick around if you'd like to speak with Eldridge.
No.
He's another Southern caller who will enjoy having Jackie on the show.
So 17 minutes left, and you really want to get rid of me that badly?
No,
you
seem busy.
I am busy, but
hang out for the next 15 minutes, though, and talk to Eldridge, who's a big fan of trucking, Camaros, and wide receivers.
Okay, good.
Mosedale, how you doing, Andy? How you doing, Miss Hottie?
Miss Hottie?
I don't know who that is.
Are those the lines you use at those truck pit stops when you're a little lonely on I-97 South?
Yeah, I don't go by that.
Not lying, but you're right, though. No, I really listen to them. It hurt to listen to y'all.
Well, on the radio, it shouldn't matter. Yeah. You shouldn't be fantasizing that the girl's hot. Now you get into one of those 1-900 situations where it's this fat beast in her kitchen.
I was fantasizing.
I am a fat beast.
Just a fat.
How does that make you feel if someone's fantasizing about you while you're talking to them? It's a little awkward, no? I deal with it occasionally when we get some female callers, so I know.
Okay,
how you
let
feel.
The man talk. What's your question?
My question is, I like Jimmy when Jimmy came on earlier, the overpaying people. But if we're all facing on Grump again, hope we have a little help, more help coming. But I heard you cut Jeremy Johnson. And you got to find another guy of South Carolina State with a little...
Wait, do you care about Jeremy Johnson or Derek Johnson or Tyler or whatever the other guy's name is? Those guys are irrelevant. If they have to be on your radar, then we stink as a football team here in New England.
No, Jeremy Johnson is a little bit more productive than Brandon LaPale, you know, but you paid him 19... But not Charles, excuse me.
Brandon LaFell has caught 36 or more passes in each of his four seasons in the National Football League. That's decent production.
Now, like I said, Andy, time to tell. I'm in Carolina. I watch Carolina when I'm not watching the Patriots.
Right, but my point is, he is a proven professional receiver, something that the bulk of the guys that you're talking about are not. I'm not saying he doesn't have a reputation for dropped balls. I'm not saying he may be a little big and stiff to fit in with some of the things they look for in this offense. I'm not saying any of that. But the man has caught somewhere in the range of 200 balls in the National Football League. I'm not sneezing at that.
Is there any smoke to what was discussed during OTAs? That Brandon LaFell, because of the size and maybe his because of his size
and his abilities, yes,
he could move over into that move tight end.
The problem
kind of
is, how do you know?
Okay,
I mean, unless I know the play call and the scheme that the Patriots are putting out there, is he the fourth receiver, the third tight end, the move tight end, the X, the Y, the Z, the Q, the R. You know, I don't know that. He could be in the mix in those lower-level offensive skill position roles. I don't know how it's going to unfold, but some of that, I think, was probably hurt by the fact that he wasn't on the field for the bulk of the spring.
That's a very good point. Yeah. And then the other thing is,
I know what.
And
right.
Eldridge could probably speak to this as well, but isn't one of the things that LaFell came here for, everybody talked about on his resume, tremendous downfield blocker. Isn't
yes.
he one of the better
yes. And that's big here.
Blocking wide receivers, which is very important.
That's why we were getting rid of Wes Welker and putting Julian Edelman on the field a couple years ago.
Right.
Got to have some downfield blockers.
Sure.
Really? How are we getting downfield? We need playmakers first.
Don't you want to have a downfield catcher instead of a downfield blocker?
Yes, but we don't. We had one. We thought we had one, and he's in a walking boot and not going to be ready to go, and everybody around here seems to be down on Dobson.
Well, Andy, I told you in doing draft last year, when you passed on Cordell and we got Dobson, told you last year. Wait till this year.
You probably did, but you've told me about, and Eldridge, thanks for the call, buddy. You've told me that about every receiver we've ever passed on any level. He's a man that is, he's loyal to his receivers. He wanted Randy Moss three years after Randy Moss was done. That's just his, not shtick. I think he firmly believes it, but that's who he is.
I think the other day that I was asked to come in here and substitute, you weren't in here, but there was it was one of those Andre Johnson days where Johnson was making news, and I believe Eldridge is a big supporter of doing whatever it takes for the
yes,
Patriots.
Yes, I believe he is.
Andre
and,
Johnson.
Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have Andre Johnson on this team. I think he would be really good, and I think he would help the team a lot. But A, is Houston going to trade him? Doesn't seem that way. And B, would you pony up what Houston was looking for and above whatever anyone else? You know, I've said this. Why wouldn't Seattle make a run at Andre Johnson if he's available? A team that is very good, has some flexibility, and could use a receiver of his stature where, oh, by the way, he can go win a Super Bowl title or be very much in the mix just as he would be in New England. So even if he becomes available, I don't think it's a slam dunk he would come here because Billy O'Brien coached here once, you know.
Right.
That's it. You seemed like you wanted to chime in with something.
Nothing? No, we already talked about it.
All right, you want to talk to Rafael in Italy? This is a... Oh, no. Sorry, Rafael. You got to wait. Trey in Memphis has been waiting 25 minutes.
Another Southerner.
Another Southerner. So y'all can talk. Here's Jackie Britton. Dag nabbit.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. My phone is buzzing. I apologize for that. Very unprofessional. What do you got today, Trey?
First of all, I would like to say, man, you guys are great, man. You know, I love listening to you guys. I always do. I want to touch on a few things. As far as, you know, I always listen to people say that Brady is declining. I mean, you know, which it might be true, but, man, his body of work, what he did last year, I mean, if that's a sign of a guy that's declining, hell, I'll take it. You know, and then 12-4, man, hey, I'll take that any year. And I also, I want to touch on, you know, a lot of people, well, this guy, Eldridge, man, he is so obsessed with, you know, big receivers, and I just don't get it. You know, just because you have big receivers, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, you know, that that's your ticket to the Super Bowl. Like, you know, you look at the Bears. I mean, hell, they got deep threats, short threats. I mean, you know, they have everything that you need as far as, you know, explosive receivers in hell. And look at their record. Okay, you see. Look at the Detroit Lions. I mean, they got Megatron and everybody else. I mean, so, you know, big, you know, all these big play receivers is good. I mean, but man, I mean, it really doesn't make a big deal.
Yeah, so you're saying people are forgetting that they have Tom Brady?
There is no cure-all position of an elite player other than quarterback in the NFL. Quarterback's the only position. If you add a truly elite guy, you're automatically a contender and you're in the mix. There are plenty of teams that, you know, how about Seattle? Who's their big play receiver? You know, or the other team, the Denver Broncos. They have a big play receiver. I'll take Demaryius Thomas as an elite big play receiver, and he got his ass whooped in the Super Bowl.
Exactly. So, I mean, I got to say, man, I mean, I think that – you know, the guys that we had last year, I mean, I think everybody's going to, you know, step up, you know, take it to another level. And I think, you know, that we're going to be fine. So, and, you know, like I said, I want to take up, you know, you guys' time. Like I said, you know, man, I enjoy you guys. And
it's y'all.
And you guys have my vote, you know, to y'all's replace Mike and Mike in the morning.
Oh, thank you, Trey. That is high praise.
That is.
The Beauty and the Best show going national and replacing Mike and Mike.
Beauty and the Best.
I actually heard they're on the outs, just so you know.
Really?
I think they may be done.
I used to watch them all the time.
One of the mics might be on the way out and be a mic in a different show. Mm. Probably have to change the name at that point.
Yeah, unless you got another mic.
Just one thing on the Brady real quick before we move on to our next caller. Everybody talks about, you know, he took chicken bleep and may have made chicken salad last year. And he had some pretty bad chicken bleep at times last year. People also forget that he was making that chicken salad with an injured hand for a bulk of the season. I think that gets underplayed when people say, oh, his accuracy was off and this was off. If we remember how the hand was an issue for
4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, in the NFL, that's a third of your season.
Right.
You know, that's a chunk of season. Right. And we don't know to the degree. It may have started out bad and faded, come back at somewhere in there. But I think that gets underplayed. It's all about the rookie receivers or he's getting old. Well, he had a hand injury. Your right hand is hurt. That makes it difficult to throw the football. I don't think that gets enough play and consideration in terms of evaluating what he was last year.
Everyone sucks but me.
All right, now we're going to go to Italy for our friend Rafael, who calling way across the pond with some meatballs to offer up here.
Yes. I sent an email last week and I heard like Fred reading it with an accent. He can't do an Italian proper accent, for sure.
Yeah, it was terrible. And it was a long email, and he got worse as the email went on, if I recall.
And all the content, and everybody was not paying attention to the content.
Oh.
You do not sound like you have a stereotypical Italian accent, though. I'm not sure.
Baloney!
That's because I've been studying in London already the last 2 years, so I picked up a bit.
Oh.
Another accent.
Where are you from in Italy? From where?
Yeah, it's in the south of Italy. I'm here for holidays to work.
Das Boot.
As you've been speaking about looks, I'm hiring waitresses now for the pizzeria, and look is very important. I want them to be pretty.
I'm starting to feel like this may be a put-on. Are you really Italian, and do you really have a pizzeria?
Yes, like, how can I prove it? Wait.
Send me a pizza.
I can... Huh?
Send me a pizza.
going to be here in like 10
pizza.
Minutes.
We make the best pizzeria in our town, first in TripAdvisor. Let me do a bit of advertising.
Okay, what town? What town, what place?
Propea.
Propa.
Google it. It's fantastic.
Okay. Do you get buffalo chicken over there? Because that's my favorite.
No buffalo chicken. We make pizzeria and we make a special chicken, which we cook in the baked oven with a special technique that is so delicious.
I love pesto.
You can... No, you've already been on holiday. Otherwise, I would have invited you to come here and be my guest.
Well, if you get me a free flight, I will be there. But, Raphael, thanks for the call. Matt Smith is waving you off the air. He did not want to hear any more about pizza D, isn't he?
Incorrect. Incorrect.
What? I mistook that hand sign? That wasn't... Was that Brady in the old days of Frisco when he was calling out the Frisco sign?
What was the Frisco sign?
One of their calls was Frisco.
And was it really?
Kind of flung his hand out to one side. I don't think you'd get away with that in this day and age of Tony Dungy and Michael Sam and everything we get else going
see
on.
Tony's, to see St. Tony's doing a little bit of a mea culpa.
Is he? I haven't seen the mea culpa. I'll be honest. It created more of an uproar than I think it should have or really expected when I read it. I didn't. Are you still sick?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's like you just chewed on a clam in your mouth.
No.
You've been going to the Bill Belichick School of Public Speaking. Generally, when there's a microphone in front of you, try not to snort up a clam and chew on it.
I didn't think I did.
What are you laughing at over there?
That's funny.
Did you see him do it? I thought he did.
No, I'm laughing at what you said about Belichick.
What were you talking about?
St. Tony.
Did you think that warranted the discussion and outrage and everything that...
I think for a person who has taken the position that he's been as the almighty healer and Mike Vick deserves a second chance and everything like that.
Yeah, but the Bible doesn't say that black men who kill dogs are bad. If you really want to believe the Bible like some people do, they believe that, right? I mean,
I just thought it was an interesting stance to say as a coach he wouldn't have taken him on because it would create too many issues.
Right. I certainly found it interesting. It created more of a firestorm than I thought it expected. I mean, WEEI had to go to their resident gay advisor, Steve Buckley, this morning and get his opinion on it. It kind of grew into something that I thought was more than really it deserved to be, good or bad, whatever. Again, it's me, though. I'm not overly sensitive to anything. Tight end conversation is our email coming from Josh in Walpole. So we go from... maybe Italy, or maybe the guy down the street, to Walpole, the guy literally down the street. I haven't heard anyone point to the preseason mistake that Belichick made last year. By cutting Daniel Fells and deciding to roll the dice with Sudfeld, the Patriots, BB, made a big mistake. I believe this was a classic example of the Patriots being cheap. They didn't want to carry Fells' contract. And even though there was a clear need at the tight end position, they took a chance on an unsigned free agent over a veteran with experience in the offense. The Patriots haven't addressed the lack of depth at tight end yet, and I hope they don't make the same mistake they made last year. And whatever happened to Jake Ballard? And do you think that LaFell will be used in a similar way as Hernandez was used? I hear he's pretty good blocker for a receiver. Thanks, Josh and Walpole.
A lot of smoke on that LaFell. Jake Ballard's in Arizona.
Yes, right. Productive in Arizona. Finally seems to be getting more healthy after the... carcass we saw out here
right.
Before he was let go.
Listen, they would have liked to have kept Jake Ballard last year. I don't think there's any question about it, but he couldn't.
Daniel Fells I liked as much as anyone, but A, they're still paying for that mistake in dead money,
yep.
And B, I don't believe he's caught on anywhere.
Correct.
So the other 31 teams are missing on the diamond in the rough as well.
Right. And I'm not sure how many of the other 31 teams were going to put in a claim on Sudfeld once he was waived, but the last time I checked, I don't think the Jets thought that they were all set at the position with their second-round pick they picked,
correct.
The kid from Texas Tech.
Now, to be fair, I do think they put Sudfeld in probably an elevated position he didn't deserve to be in last year as a guy who was on the field early in the year trying to be a pass catcher for Tom Brady in an offense. But I don't think the other options, you really turned away anything that cost
you
long.
Well,
but don't you think, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him here, but clearly last year, as they were building the team, they had an idea what the offense was going to look like. They knew Gronkowski was hurt, but they also thought they were going to get a contribution from the other guy who's now incarcerated.
Oh, yeah. Right. We talked about that earlier. Yeah.
That happens in June. It's not a tremendous amount of time to sit there as they're building their offense around, you know, a slot receiver and then Hernandez in the slot as well, and as a move guy. They were scrambling at the beginning.
No question. Yeah. They were scrambling, and they never caught up.
Correct.
Because the Gronk situation lingered and went on.
Correct.
That went south on them. And then some of the plan Bs and Cs didn't play out as well as might have been hoped or expected. It went south in a hurry. And I think they're still playing catch up. I mean, you still have $7.5 million on your books for said tight end, who is allegedly a three-time murderer.
Right.
And you wait for that to come off the books, so you couldn't even reinvest. I mean, they're going to pay for this. It set them back.
Sure.
Aaron Hernandez's alleged actions set them back for
couple of years.
3 years.
Couple of years,
maybe.
For sure.
So, and that's out. I despite what some people may think, that's sort of outside the realm of their control.
Right.
And their ability.
Without question.
Nickname yourself. This is from Robin in Alaska. You can totally nickname yourself Indiana Jones. You're named after the dog. Hey, I loved that dog. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Is there a geek in the room who can explain this to me?
Next.
Jackie, good call. Hot dogs or sausages?
Oh, Belo.
Now that Belo is gone, which do you prefer and why?
Hot dogs and sausages.
Which do I prefer?
Yeah.
Between Belo and Sosie?
Oh, I thought it meant
beverages.
Between hot dogs and sausages.
Oh.
I like hot dogs. Some sausages are really good, but I like a good, like a real sausage that you get
from the real
meat. I'm
not a fan of hot dogs, so I would go sausages.
Huh?
Yeah. Like on pizza, I love sausages.
Are you a brat guy?
I can be.
Love brats.
I'm very picky, though, and sometimes you don't get them. I don't know. I need a good one.
Okay.
You know, I like the ones where you get, like, real meat inside. You can see it's a piece of meat. It's not ground up who knows what from who knows where. You don't like tube steak, huh?
Which is what a hot dog is.
Yes, but I like them.
Yeah,
but the good thing about hot dogs is...
Grilled or steamed?
Grilled.
Anyway, I can take
grilled.
A hot dog like I take pizza.
Grilled.
There are varying degrees of how I like it.
Steamed is grim.
I like all the ways, and I also like a variety of toppings, and I can mix it up, mix and match, go all in with cheeses and chilies and everything, or go simple, just a hot dog with some ketchup on it. Now a more serious question. By the way, who do you like better, Belo or Sosie? Since you brought that topic up.
They are two very different personalities, and I love them both.
They look very much alike.
But they don't.
Shop your favorites. Victoria's Secret.
Like,
there is an incestual love thing going on between like Sosie, former PR guy,
short.
Casey O'Connell, Brian Lowe. They all have this look to them. Paul Perillo calls it modern day play-by-play
like,
man 101.
Sosie's like Italian. And shorter.
Why'd you have to bring ethnicity into this?
Because Belo's super pale and like really tall. They couldn't look more opposite to me.
No. But their look, I think, is geeky, coiffed hair, perfect kind of. You know, they. No offense to them. We're going to finish up this email before we put an end to what was a fast-moving show, I thought, young Jackie.
We're actually 1 minute over.
Well, we're going to finish the email. We owe it to Wachusett.
Love it.
Oh, Scott in Wachusett. With the bodies in the secondary, is there... Wachusett. Is there any chance that we see
the trying to wake Kevin up
reemergence of the big nickel this year? I don't get the question.
I think that's probably trying to think of Browner,
who's never played safety a down in his life.
Correct. That's
and you know I
hence that's why I think the email's coming.
I'm not sure we have two safeties to put on the field. Never mind three.
Correct.
And generally, people call the big nickel, at least the original incarnation here. As
Victor,
an extra safety.
Was Victor Green. Right.
A failed Victor Green experiment. Then there were the Tank Williams was sort of involved. I don't know if he ever actually played it, but they wanted him to be that.
The great Adrian Wilson.
Adrian Wilson.
So he's asking if with the signing of Browner, if that's what's going to happen.
I guess that Browner, Harmon, and McCourty, you all consider safeties. Now, I'd like to find two safeties. If I can find two safeties I can play this year, I'll be happy.
See, I would look at it the other way, that in any kind of dime situation, they can put five or six cornerbacks on the field. They could put McCourty, Ryan, Revis, Browner, Arrington, Dennard, and you
certainly
can put a lot of cornerbacks on the field.
Certainly. And they have good depth in the secondary. And we know Belichick loves to mingle and match and everything in the secondary and piece together. And you also have a focal point in Revis. So you kind of have the best of both worlds. A lot of teams have depth but don't have the main guy. This team seems to have the main guy and some depth. And it did not work out well in 2002, but we may have the personnel for it now, or personal for it, as Scott wrote. Fred Kirsch likes to criticize emailers, so I want to do that part. All right, Jackie.
Speaking of being critical, just while Matt's here, because Matt and I are big Springsteen guys. Matt, you got to hear this one.
Bruce Springsteen.
Never even heard of the Boss.
Wow.
Brutal.
You've never heard of him?
No, of course I've
heard
of him.
So you haven't, like, flying all over the country?
I had a What do you call
Bruce
it?
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my God!
Like,
did you see his play
feet.
Set in New York? It was
like,
so much better than Jersey.
Feet. I just like can't read.
You want to defend
That's
yourself,
so
you Springsteen
mean.
Geek?
No, Nate. I want to take it back to the secondary and ask you a final question before we wrap things up.
How long are we going here?
Pat Chung on the roster or not on the roster?
On the roster.
Really?
The roster. I think a lack of depth at safety and special teams ability earn him a roster spot.
Interesting.
I think Ebner and Wilson are fighting for a single spot. I don't think both those guys will be back. Probably will be Ebner, and I think Wilson will go on his merry way. That's Tavon, since Adrian already went on his own merry way. Jackie Britton, I want to thank you for a tremendous show.
Thank you for having me so much.
I thought we balanced out some football with some fun quite nicely.
Yeah,
and some energy that the old coots, Eric, Fred, and Paul, don't bring. And Matt even chimed in nicely with some bold predictions and some definitive ideas about the preseason broadcast.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring superimposed stuff to the Washington game, right?
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for
fun.
Coming. Until Thursday, next show, we will be talking about the first training camp practice. Was Gronk on the field? How did Garoppolo look? And all the other questions that you can get in Patriots Today's 14 for 14, available now on Patriots.com. Until then, peace out.
I'm drunk on a plane.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.